much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, mister, leave Mr. DJ. Tell me if you hear me. Turn the music up.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
All right, so I got nominated to do the Ice Bucket Challenge by Itzy. I nominate Go and yourself. All right, let's do it. Oh, yeah, we're in a f***ing draw, you idiots.
This man is a failure. He is not up to snuff.
I, for one, am going to rent Finding Nemo.
Ooh, we don't carry cartoons. But if you want a film about the ocean, we have a documentary about the brutality of Japan's whaling industry. It's called Tears of My Blowhole, and it's nauseating.
And now...
Well, if you're so anxious to earn big money, why don't you turn to radio? Radio? Yes, it's a gold mine.
Our feature presentation.
Yes, it's a gold mine.
It is.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 26th of August. What's crackalating, my people? You know how we do with our thug life?
Yeah.
That's right. Thug life indeed. That's all Lisa Mays about is thug life.
Sure.
We know that.
Sure.
Hey, you used to live in Arkansas, right, Kevin?
I did for a couple of years, yeah.
Were you anywhere near Arkansas State University?
I don't know.
Go Red Wolves?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know what city they're in. That's why I was asking. I'm unfamiliar with Arkansas State, but
I was near the University of Arkansas, which is different.
Gotcha. And that's probably in Little Rock, I would imagine, right?
Yes.
I would think. Big city there. Well, Arkansas State University is in the news today. This is one of those freak accidents that you hate to see happen, and it's crazy when it does. But remember a couple of years ago when we had listeners call in with their stories of being impaled?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got an impaling story for you.
Oh, boy. No. These are so ugly.
I know, and they're almost always freak accidents,
yeah,
too. This is a fraternity house and a bunch of college students just hanging out like they do. And one of the young men at the frat house threw a football at another young man who was going to hit it with a golf club. He was using a golf club as a bat to hit the football.
Okay.
Sounds typical college.
So far, I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, nobody looks at that and goes, well, there's a recipe for disaster, right? I mean, with the exception of... We all know what happens when you play ball in the house. There's a chance the football may go and knock over a drink or hit a window or something like that. I mean, that's the only damage I would suspect. Well, what happened instead was when the ball hit the golf club broke and split, just like a batter in baseball with the bat breaks into two and goes off into all different directions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the shaft of the golf club flew 30 feet before plunging itself into the neck of an 18-year-old college student freshman named Natalie Jo Eaton.
Oh, my God.
No.
Right into her neck.
Into her neck.
Yes.
It's like, this hazing sucks.
I mean, it was so not on purpose, you know? And she just happened to be standing there in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it went in at the wrong angle to do quite a bit of damage. She was rushed to the hospital. She is still in critical condition.
Oh, no.
Sorority sisters at the hospital were told in the hours following the accident that she would be paralyzed because the golf club had hit her spinal cord.
Wow.
It also nicked an artery, by the way, so there was a great deal of bleeding going on. However, the next day, it is reported that Natalie Jo Eaton began to move her arms and legs a little bit. So that's a great sign,
all right,
obviously. She's moving her arms and legs a day later. It's just crazy. I know people are praying everywhere for her. That's a miracle. She's the strongest person I know. It doesn't surprise me at all, says McKaylee Riddle, who's a friend of hers and a sorority sister. It also is interesting that the man who swung the golf club apparently was instrumental in keeping her alive. He's the one who rushed over to her and held her head still for several minutes after the freak accident to prevent the golf club from moving around.
Well, the golf club did come out of his hand, so maybe he's a little self-interest there.
Yeah, maybe so. But everybody from the doctors to the witnesses say that, she would probably be dead if he had not done that, if he had not run over to her and hold her so that she wouldn't bleed out and, you know. And they took her to the hospital and took the golf club out there. So what a freak accident,
wow,
though, right?
Oh, my God.
You just
not
don't
what
expect
you're
that.
Expecting. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just hanging out in the fraternity house, you know, on a Saturday night or something like that. The next thing you know, you got a golf club in your neck.
Mom, you know how sometimes things go wrong? I'm in college, and I have a golf club in my neck.
And you know what it's like, Lisa, to have a shaft in your throat. Oh, I mean, that can be painful.
The worst.
I mean, nobody wants,
or the best.
Nobody wants that.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I always thought you were a midget.
Well, we are going to talk to Brad Williams today.
Okay.
Brad Williams, who has seen...
My former friend.
Who has seen Bean in the wild, which most of us never get a chance to do. Because he spent one day over the weekend with Bean.
Brad was in town doing some stand-up comedy. And, of course, I can be friends with him now because he's got a radio job.
Right, sure.
So I was able to get together with him for some breakfast. And I thought we had a nice time. And now I'm extremely concerned to find out that now he's ratting me out to my parents.
First of all, we're nowhere near your parents. And second of all, he's doing the right thing. Because
well, what happened?
Well, we'll tell you.
Well, what's his complaint?
Here's all I'll tell you, Bean. I will tell you that you will find it absurd that anyone would complain about this, which is pretty much everything we say about you. But
you're still giving him that platform.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
We're going to talk to Mary McNamara from the LA Times about the Emmys.
Oh, okay.
They were on last night. We also have highlights of that. Mm-hmm. We found out something about Omar, who we've worked with for how long?
Gosh.
Bean, 15 years?
It's got to be close to that, yeah.
Found something out new yesterday.
Really?
Who knew? Yeah. You hang out with somebody long enough and there's secrets that you were not aware of. It's not really a secret, but it's just an oddity. You just go, what?
It's like when we found out Muggs was a Satanist, remember? We
right.
were just like, how do you worship the devil? It's just crazy.
How
dare you?
Speaking of Muggs, he was on the red carpet for the VMAs, which were Sunday night. We've got some highlights of that coming up in about a half hour.
Can't wait.
He's magic on the mic, as we know.
I hear they're Muggsy.
We also have tickets for Made in America, the festival.
Awesome.
So that's coming up this morning as well. And we have an author, Ron Kessler, on who has written a book about the Secret Service. And I've skimmed some of this book, and it's got some juicy details in it.
That's what you're looking for.
Juicy details.
Excellent.
The whole system that President Clinton had when Hillary would leave, within minutes, a woman nicknamed the Energizer would show up. And she would stay there for a week or however long Hillary was gone.
You're kidding.
And then she would touch down at the runway, you know, at the airport, and the Secret Service would call and go, hey, you might want to get her out of there.
I guess that's the good thing about you have the Secret Service and your wife also has the Secret Service. Because the Secret Service can always keep you up to date as to where she is at any time. Because they're all in touch with each
other. Supposedly there were some close calls. But anyway, that's the kind of thing that you always sort of suspect goes on, but you don't know.
In this day and age, that's what surprises me. Like, in Kennedy's time, I get it, but now it surprises me.
You are right that no man cheats on his wife in these days.
No, but you're not.
You're saying it's too easy to get
some chick in the White House, for God's sake.
No, but this is him.
Sorry.
This is him now.
Sorry. This is him at a personal home.
Okay.
I apologize. I didn't say that.
No, I just probably inferred that.
And the other thing about Hillary Clinton is she's considered the worst person. Like, if you're in trouble, like you really screwed up in the Secret Service, you have to take Hillary to duty. Because she's so mean to the Secret Service that it's you're being penalized.
Oh my God!
By having to watch her.
Oh,
so anyway,
I have to read this.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. It's called First Family Detail, and it's Ron Kessler. We'll talk to him a little bit later on this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Beer mug, red carpet interviews coming up right after the top of the hour. Can't wait for that. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday. Good morning, Argar.
It's all over, but the cleanup now for the Emmys that were given out last night. Postmortems are coming in from all the press, but by all accounts, people seem to enjoy the show pretty much. I thought Seth Meyers was surprisingly effective as a host.
I agree.
He didn't make it worse.
I think he actually added to it.
Not
I
much.
I enjoyed him.
I thought the opening monologue was really strong.
Yeah, that was strong.
And I thought, as a host, he did a great job. Mm-hmm. I expected him to be fine, but I thought he was better than fine, actually.
Some of his little interstitial bits that he did, like the one with Amy Poehler and some others, I thought were real funny, too.
I thought he did very well for himself. When it comes to the awards, no big surprises. Maybe a few snubs. People are expecting maybe Billy Bob Thornton to win for Fargo, Orange is the New Black, House of Cards, all the Netflix shows that have been nominated sort of broke through that ceiling, at least to get nominated. They were frozen out. But here are your list of selected winners. No real surprises. Best drama series, Breaking Bad, as expected, was given a little farewell gift. Best actor in a drama, Bryan Cranston, also from Breaking Bad. Best lead actress in a drama, once again, Julianna Margulies, won for The Good Wife. Anna Gunn won for Best Supporting Actress in a Drama for her work in Breaking Bad. And her co-star Aaron Paul picked up the Best Supporting Actor in a Drama nod. Comedy series, Modern Family. Lead actress in a comedy. Very happy to see Julia Louis-Dreyfus win for Veep. She's been amazing this past season on that show. Lead actor in a comedy, Jim Parsons. Okay, enough already. Jim Parsons, yeah. Big Bang Theory, enough.
He seemed to agree with you last night that it's getting ridiculous at this point.
He said, look at everyone else here, and then look at me, and look at them, and then look at me again.
There's some highlights of Ricky Gervais' speech, too, where he mocks him.
That was pretty
awesome. Ricky was hilarious. Wasn't that true, Ralph, in so many categories where, look, the person who won was acceptable, but almost anyone else in that category you would have been happy for, too, because those categories are just stacked this year.
That's the problem with the Emmys, as opposed to other award shows, is that shows are on for 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons, and so the same competitors come back, and if they do good work, sometimes the Academy will honor them time after time after time. It tends to take some of the excitement out of the awards ceremonies because a lot of the same people win after year.
But I also feel like Modern Family is a perfect example of a show that deserves it every year.
It does.
I think it's a great, well-written, tight show.
It's an outstanding comedy, and certainly there's no complaints there. However, when a show like Veep has sort of a seminal season where they're sort of even above their own high standards, they kind of crushed it, you'd like to see that special kind of work get awarded in a given season. I mean, you really can't complain about any of these awards. Even Jim Parsons, he's excellent on that show. He really is. And I guess we just get tired of seeing the same people up there. Allison Janney won for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy with her work in Mom. And Ty Burrell won for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy for Modern Family. Best Variety Series, that was the Colbert Report, or as as our friend from No Doubt likes to call
it, Stefani?
The Colbert Report. The PowerPoint.
She probably had never heard of it because it's spelled Colbert.
Yeah.
Right?
It's been out for 9 years, Kevin.
I understand that.
And it was
her
category.
And she watches TV.
It was her category, agreed.
And they did give her the nominees.
Agreed.
But she did seem very surprised by
it. All that should have been covered, I think, maybe backstage before she stepped out there. Listen to Kevin defending her.
Well, I think he's defending her.
Well,
I would have said, come prepare for her.
Right. And she's also watched other awards shows where the Colbert Report has been spoken out loud, and she would have come across it sometime in the last decade, I would imagine. It was a surprise.
Speaking of surprises, The Amazing Race won for Best Reality Show.
What?
How did that happen?
That is crazy.
What a dark horse. What a shot. Enough. Let's just make it the Amazing Race Award and just give them the award every year. Stop it. And does everyone who's ever been on The Amazing Race have to get up on stage when they get the award?
That is the case, yes.
Not only the staff and crew, but their families and their dentists, and apparently everyone's ever run the race. It's like 400 people up on stage for that. Nuts. The Normal Hot won for Best TV Movie, Fargo for Best Miniseries, and Jessica Lange once again picked up her award for Best Actress in a Miniseries. Actor went to Benedict Cumberbatch for his work in Sherlock. I was happy to see that. Also happy to see his co-star Martin Freeman, who plays Watson on that miniseries, pick up an award as well. And Kathy Bates won for American Horror Story Coven for Best Supporting Actress in a Miniseries or Movie. What'd you think of Billy Crystal's tribute to Robin Williams?
Really well done.
I thought it really was.
Really,
excellent.
Really classy.
He's great on stage.
That's such a difficult thing to do, you know?
He's the master at telling the stories about people. I mean, have you ever seen his one-man show, 700 Sundays?
I've not.
But it's outstanding. And that reminded me a lot of that as he sort of recounted his history with Robin Williams. But I thought
perfect person to do it because not only a really legitimate friend of Robin Williams, but as you said, just well-suited with that skill set.
Yeah.
But also didn't go on forever, which I thought was really, it was great. He got on, he did the thing, everybody felt what he wanted them to feel, and then they moved on.
I agree.
That was good.
Katherine Heigl was a presenter last night. Can you help but think every time you see her now, there's someone everyone hates working with.
I know, I do.
Every time she walks on stage, well, just everyone in that room hates her right now.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like more is the same over on her show, State of Affairs. She had, and according to the National Enquirer, She made the production team reshoot an entire scene because she felt the producers made her butt look big. She looked at the video screen there when they showed the
producers
the playback.
Made her butt look
well,
big?
Well, the production, the shoot.
So it's like the angle?
The scene,
or
yes. The way they were shooting her made her butt look big, so she made everyone go back and reshoot an entire scene. Reportedly, producers volunteered and suggested perhaps bringing in a booty double.
Sure.
If she has a problem with how she looks from behind, maybe they can bring someone in. And she flipped out and said she's got the best butt in Hollywood. They just didn't know how to shoot it. So,
wow.
By the way, the story continues.
Wow.
She's playing a CIA agent in her new show, you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's why you'd worry about
she
your
is
butt.
Agent Christmas Jones, I believe.
So, first we're asked to believe she's a doctor.
That's right.
Now she's a CIA agent.
Sure, you know how it goes.
My butt hurts.
By the way, speaking of butts, Ralph.
Yes.
Sophie Vergara.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have gone with her on that Lazy Susan all night long
that's
up
hilarious.
There on the stage. Just let it go. Just
what a
keep
way
turning
to,
it.
To distract us from the fact that guy's so boring.
I thought a lot of those elements that you see in every award show were really well done. They're sort of well-crafted, entertaining stuff around all the things that they have to put up there every year. You know, and I thought that
you
was
could funny. Have you could have offered me $1 million to tell you what that guy was talking about after that segment. I wouldn't have been able to do it. I had
point,
no
I
idea what he was talking about.
I thought he was pretty funny, actually, when they started applauding her. And he's like, thank you. What he's talking about, how they count the votes or something. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Chris Burke. Corky! Cork, mother effing key.
It's true.
From Life Goes On, 49 years old today.
Shirley Manson's birthday.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Garbage singer Shirley Manson's 48 years old. Adrian Young from No Doubt is 45. Actress Melissa McCarthy, who was in attendance there at the Emmys last night, 44. I loved when Seth took questions from the audience about the Emmys.
That was funny.
She had a parking question. What if I put a note on my dad said, at the Emmys? Will they still tell me?
Please don't tell.
Macaulay Culkin's 34. Chris Pine, also 34. Dylan O'Brien, who is in Teen Wolf and soon to be seen in the upcoming movie The Maze Runner. He is 23 years old. And actress Kiki Palmer is 21. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Less than 30 minutes away from your tickets for the Budweiser Made in America Fest happening this weekend at Grand Park downtown L.A. That's a hell of a show, by the way, with Imagine Dragons, Kanye, Weezer, Rise Against, Cap Cities, and more. I'll tell you when to call in and win. That's coming up on K-Rock.
You got music, and then you have somebody yelling at you?
That'll be fun. That'll be a good time.
Beer Mug was at the red carpet for the VMAs. So this was Sunday, and we're not talking about last night's Emmys. We're talking about the MTV Awards the day before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It takes us a while to get through the Beer Mug interviews because, you know, it's Beer
Mug.
You
have to put on a hazmat suit.
Right.
And you have to get those tongs, and you have to get it deloused, and then, you know, the radioactivity has to be taken into account.
You have to get the team together.
Right.
So
hazmat suit.
Go through it. This is the beginning.
Yeah, because your interviews are toxic.
Oh, how dare you, Ralph.
This is the interview, and I'm known for this type of thing, but I don't know that I've ever had to restart quite so quickly.
What's up, everybody? Beer Mug here. Take two.
What was wrong with that going on?
I don't know. What was wrong with that?
I don't think I knew where I was going with that.
That has
so
never
much.
Stopped you before.
What's up, people? Beer Mug here. Take two. Wow. All right. What is Snack Off Show? What's the Snack Off Show?
It's a new show on MTV where they put ridiculous food items together from dumpsters and other gross things and make snacks out of them.
Okay.
And they judge it.
So
do they do it in the nude?
Instead of asking them about that show and having them tell him what the show was.
I like snacks.
Beer Mug described an idea that he had for this show.
Oh,
and he wanted to get their idea if they liked it as well.
That's funny that you say that because myself, I'm a stoner.
Okay.
So I sit at home and constantly smoke weed and just concoct a bunch of snacks.
Nice.
So I have a new thing called the cheese barbecue cracker plate. It's just a piece of cheddar cheese on a water cracker with a little squirt of Casey Masterpiece barbecue. And my cheese is not out of a trash can.
So what do you think of me?
How do you like me?
Myself.
I myself like food.
Who's interviewing whom there, by the way?
I'm a stoner.
I come up with an idea with putting cheese on crackers.
I'm sorry,
Bean. What do you think of that?
I'm sorry, Bean, were you under the impression these were interviews?
I was.
They're not. It's just Beer Mug shouting things like,
what up, Juicy?
Okay. Remember when Thrilly came up with the idea of putting cheese on crackers, by the way?
That's true.
That's revolutionary.
With barbecue sauce.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize.
Kendall Schmidt is next. He was from the band Big Time Rush. And Beer Mug is talking to him and asks a question in a very Beer Mug way.
Awesome, awesome. Now, who are some of your inspirations, whether it be emotional from life or artist?
Good point.
Who are your inspirations, whether it be from life
emotional from life
or artists?
You know what that means.
Well, if I think about it really hard, I can kind of figure it out.
You think he's going to tell you who his emotional influences from life are?
Yeah.
How much time do you have?
I got a while.
The show does have to start
at some point. My mom, when she was young, she worked a lot. So there was a neighbor. There was a neighbor, Mrs. Jenkins, who would take me in and feed me barbecue sauce on cheese with crackers.
That is kind of the companion question to how's your life been so far.
Right. Yes. That requires too much of an answer.
Is your influence emotional from life?
Some of the cast of Happy Land are standing in front of him now. And
I'm sorry, I don't know what Happy Land is.
It's also a new MTV show debuting September 30th. It's about two guys that work at an amusement park.
Yeah, you know, we didn't get any of that.
That information from the interview.
None of that. What we got was...
And then drama ensues, hilarity, and other things of that sort.
Both drama and hilarity ensue. That's going to be action-packed.
Now, I'm not positive why he's talking about Eminem to Happy Land. I don't know, but he's not really miking himself at all in the beginning when he starts.
He is one of the most talented artists, rappers, I think, ever.
Well, I read that he actually used to study the encyclopedia.
He's a wordsmith. And when you flow, you're put on the spot, and it's just so hard. You just go, blah.
He's a wordsmith.
He is a wordsmith, Kevin.
So you go, blah? Is that what you go, blah?
Well, I was trying to explain if you were put on the spot to make to flow like Eminem.
Right.
I would go blah.
You always have to say myself. Follow me with myself.
Me, myself.
Right.
Well, as long as we brought it back to you and what you would do if you were Eminem.
Of course.
You guys remember the TV show? We were talking about it before where they sneak into concerts. Like, cameras not allowed.
No cameras allowed.
Well, turns out that's not the name of it. What a surprise.
We got Chris and Marcus from On Camera, an MTV movie. Tell me about On Camera.
Almost. It's called No Cameras Allowed.
No Cameras Allowed. Let's take two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it was. Yeah. But
yeah, it was
no cameras.
All right. In my defense, the guy, the publicist who comes up to you before the red carpet
gave
interview.
Gave you the wrong name.
He did.
BS.
No, he did.
You know what that publicist's job is on that day on the red carpet?
Yeah.
To walk along to everybody and tell them it's No Cameras Allowed.
Well, that publicist is obviously an
You should leave your cameras at home, because we don't want you to have them. So now he's got them, and they're the ones that sneak into concert. And now Muggs wants to bring it again back to himself, so he tells the cast of that show, of sneaking into concerts, one of the times that he...
Of course.
Right, and he wants to know if the... I swear to God, at the end of it, he wants to know if they're proud of him.
Outkast was playing last Coachella, and we were trying to make our way up to the front of the stage. It was just sea of people. I mean, like, literally sardines.
Is the guy glazed over yet? Has he died? Has he passed out?
He's heavily invested.
This is a good story.
Hey, Muggs.
What is your interpretation of literally sardines?
Literally packed in like a can of sardines, one on top of the other.
There was literally a bunch of small fish filling up the audience?
No. I was describing the people. I was comparing the people to sardines.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be literally then. You know
we
that,
saw
right?
a private security entourage escorting somebody with a flashlight. We get escorted right up to the front. Don't know who this entourage is, but...
That's another good way.
You guys proud of that one? That's a good one?
Good one.
You proud of that one? What do you think of me? So he's already in. Like, their whole thing is sneaking into festivals and concerts.
He made his way to the front.
He's already in and followed a guy with a flashlight.
It's our new series, On the Way to the Front, on MTV this fall.
Who's proud of that?
I pushed the kid out of the way to get closer.
I walked down an aisle. Are you proud of me?
Harley from Epic Mealtime was there.
Yeah, here we go.
Finally a name. He's the best, and he walks up to Beer Mug. Even though he was in our studio a couple of days ago, He was nice enough to walk up to Beer Mug.
We can't get rid of you, Harley.
No, I just wanted to come say hi. I smell you.
What do I smell like?
Vanilla.
Vanilla and?
Whiskey.
Yes. This man knows where I was last night. Drinking vanilla and whiskey.
In a whorehouse.
So then he's...
Oh, why can't we have Harley do our interviews on the red carpet?
That would be good. That's why. So then Beer Monk talked to him about, you know, about the VMAs.
I saw they were serving like some ravioli dish in the back. Anything you are excited to looking forward to? I don't know if that's the question.
I know what you're trying to ask me, though.
No.
Harley's so nice.
Harley's the coolest because he says, I know
anything
what...
Anything you're excited to looking forward to. Also, in my defense, I caught myself halfway and I knew I wasn't making any sense.
I'm going to play that again. And again, Harley, super cool to not just go, what?
I saw they were serving like some ravioli dish in the back. Anything you are excited to looking forward to? I don't know if that's the question.
I know what you're trying to ask me, though. I understand what you're trying to ask. I don't know.
You're here for...
I've never been here before.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
Now, why is it awesome that he's never been there before?
Because it's exciting. It's his first time, Kevin.
I've never been here before. That's awesome.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome. He has a lot experience to look forward to.
Now, the rest of them are big names, but we don't have the time, so I did put all of the interviews in their entirety. I tried to edit them together as closely as
possible.
Yeah, a montage, because the names are so big, but we just don't have time to cover everything.
Miley, Kevin and Bean, K-Rock. Right here. Twerking for us. Miss Lopez. J-Lo. I love you, Poppy. Kenny! There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The 2014 blah, 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 blah.
Goes into his wrap-up. He didn't interview any of those people, by the way. They just walked right on by.
He just yelled.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The 2014 MTV video. Sorry, dude. Here, let me wipe that off.
Did you?
Yeah, a little bit. Hold on. Do you have a napkin?
He literally spit on the microphone.
Just cheese and cracker and barbecue sauce.
Just it all came out of his mouth like this.
Well, there you have it, the 2014 MTV Video Music Awards right here at the Fabulous Forum in Los Angeles, California. LA is where we're at. That's what we're repping. 818-213-310. Peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He still got it, ladies and gentlemen. He still got it. Peace.
I love you, Poppy.
You guys like the Weezer? You want the Weezer?
That's what Bean heard when he... actually bought the Weezer CD from a guy in a van in a parking lot.
Yep. Bootleg from the back of a guy's truck.
Very reasonably priced, guys.
Sure.
You can't blame me for saving a few bucks. Well, the reason I bring up Weezer is they're in town this weekend, along with Imagine Dragons, Kanye West, Rise Against, Capital Cities, and more, all part of the Budweiser Made in America Fest. If you are a Weezer fan, we want to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to win your way into the Budweiser Made in America Fest. By the way, there are still some tickets available, and there's another chance to win for you at krock.com.
All right, let's talk about Omar.
Let's talk about me. I am a great guy.
Myself. What a weirdo. Omar's weird.
Why am I weird?
We find stuff out about Omar, I don't know, probably five times a year that blows our minds.
Listen, I take a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
Well, we knew that. That was a given.
Right.
What we didn't know is what a beer snob you are.
I'm not a beer snob.
You're totally a beer
snob.
I'm
not a beer snob. I'm just not drinking the swill that you guys are drinking.
See? Here we go.
Like snob to me.
Yesterday, for a half hour after the show, we were all yelling at Omar. And
we were talking
about
a major national brand of beer.
Yeah.
And Omar was like, oh, I couldn't possibly drink that stuff.
No.
You guys, I can't believe you guys are drinking that. If I, on a nice hot summer day, I like a nice winter brew or wheat ale, grass ale. You know,
I think there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking pride in what you drink.
It's just a beer. It's just a beer, man.
Well, no. If you have a really nice, full-bodied beer along with dinner with a steak, it makes all the difference in the world.
I'm full just hearing you describe that.
Yeah.
Those big, heavy beers just, they're hard to get down, man.
But I think you're getting it mixed up with, like, the stouts and the porters.
You're confusing the stouts and the porters from the pale ales and the pilsners.
Exactly.
I'm a lager man myself.
I think let me jump in here. Yes, for 1 second here. As the non-drinker, let me jump in and tell
By
you
all
my...
means, what do you have to say, non-drinker, about this
Because
subject?
I think there may be other people listening who might be asking this same question. Is beer a thing like wine for some
some people, where there are some people for whom it doesn't matter what it is. Just give it to me. It all tastes the same. But there are other people who have a much more delicate, refined palate where they really do taste a lot of differences between the various
Maybe,
brands.
Maybe, but does, that's what's happening does in beer Omar too? Have that kind of palate?
No.
Please.
I don't. No. I don't. But I know what crap is.
All right,
and
now wait.
The, and what you're
let
drinking.
Just, let me
look,
just say this.
Your taste buds have been so deadened by the years of cocaine abuse, there's no possible way that you can tell the difference between a microbrew, a mini craft beer, and just something you get out of a six-pack at the liquor store.
There's also a difference in, we might have preferences,
Sure.
But if it's there, we'll drink it because it's fine. You know what
but
I mean?
Like,
there's nothing that we don't like so much that we go,
that we
no way.
To drink it.
No yeah. way. Bring me something else.
I wouldn't drink the beer you drink.
What?
No way. No possible.
If you're
no,
at a picnic, it, Kevin, you're at a picnic, you see a big cooler of beer.
Right. What's
you,
in it?
You look through it and say, oh, I would rather have that one than that one. But if there's one brand and it's cold,
drink it.
You're drinking
I'm going to
you
the,
know
I'm going down to the supermarket and getting my own beer. That's what I'm doing.
What
a snap.
I have to get a Heffenbusser Weisselizer brew.
I'm not drinking what you guys
are. I'm going to get some orange slices, too.
Listen, if you want a shock top or a blue moon,
shock top.
When you put a little slice of orange in there, it makes it taste a lot better.
First, I'll chill a snifter. Then I will lightly pour the shock top in with a piece of. It has to be a navel orange. It has to be seedless, naturally.
Heard of people adjusting their beer based on what their meal is, like you do with wine. I've never even heard of that before.
Yeah. If you want, you know, if you're eating a steak or something, like a darker, like a porter or stout. You could accompany with it if you're taking like an appetizer,
yes,
like a buffalo wing, you like a lighter ale would do the job.
Yes, Kevin.
So
a lot of people do that with wine.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, as I said, with wine.
Right, but not.
I've never heard of it with beer. That's my
listen to the gourmet.
Totally,
over here.
Yeah, you totally do that.
When I'm eating a bunch of buffalo wings, I have a particular kind of beer and I can drink
with
it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You're just eating garbage.
Well, the thing
green
is,
buffalo wings.
Then,
how can you be a snob?
The
stout beers and the porters are a little heavier, and the alcohol content are very high.
Oh, is it?
So you don't want to get all faded.
What's you're that? Not going for the alcohol
content.
No,
I'm going for taste.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You guys are wrong.
Sometimes I'll just swill back a bottle of rubbing alcohol if I'm having a pizza. Listen, stop it.
Stop it.
Just stop it. You can have a preference. You can like whatever beers you like, but don't act like one is undrinkable.
One is so undrinkable. I would rather drink my own urine than drink this beer.
Get me some of his urine and get me one of those beers. I'll test that right
how
now.
How do you want me to get you some of his urine?
Get some urine from him.
Highlights from last night's Emmy Awards coming up next hour. Plus, we're going to want to talk to you if you've had an ass injury. Present company not included, Lisa, so you don't have to weigh in on this one this time. First, though, how about Weezer this weekend, along with Kanye West, Imagine Dragons, Capital City, so much more. We're talking about the Budweiser Made in America Fest. Tickets are still on sale for Saturday and Sunday at Grand Park in downtown L.A., but we're going to give some away to a Weezer fan right now with a game that we like to call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
That's the whole theme song.
I like it. I like it.
Just a Second!
For the listeners on hold, Kevin, and the people enjoying us on the radio right now, how's this one work?
We play just a second of a Weezer song, just the very first second, and then you have to give us the title of the song. So the answer is going to be the title of a Weezer song, but we're only going to give you 1 second of it.
That sounds doable if you're a Weezer fan.
We'll play it for you twice, like we do with Hardest Game, and then you have to come up with the title. We're going to start with Paul in Huntington Beach. Hi, Paul.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Now, I am told, Paul, a little birdie told me, that you're not only a huge Weezer fan, that you've been on both Weezer cruises.
Both of them. And it was so much fun.
Wow, this is going to be easy for you. Listen up. You get it. We'll play it for you twice. The first second of what Weezer song?
One more time.
I Want You To.
That's it. Congratulations. You're in the drawing.
That's pretty good. All right, you hold on. Be funny if the guy that went on the cruise didn't get it. Steve in Pomona, hi.
Yeah, it's me.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
What's up?
What's up is...
Just a second!
Here's your Weezer song. Give us the title.
Say It Ain't So.
That's correct.
Wow.
Don't even need to play it twice. How about that?
Couldn't have been any easier. All right, 2 for 2, both in the drawing. Who's next?
Next is Kenny in West Covina. Hello, Kenny.
Hey, what it do, nephews?
What it do?
We're playing a little game.
Just a second!
You ready for your Weezer song?
I am. Hopefully it's not one of the newer ones.
It's not. That's a clue. Here you go.
Hash pipe.
Nicely done.
Wow.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
3 for 3. These Weezer fans are awesome. By the way, all dudes so far, which is a surprise to me because I know the ladies love the Weezer.
Jose and Downey, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Just a second.
Here's your Weezer song. One more time. Boy, they sure have recognizable songs, don't they?
They sure do.
Name of it?
Beverly Hills.
That's correct. Nicely done. All right, you hold on. 4 for 4. Danae?
Danae. Good morning.
Morning. Don't be the first loser. We've had 4 winners in a row.
I know. If I'm the loser, I'm the loser. Loser.
All right.
All right.
Good enough. Here's your second of Weezer. Here's your 4 seconds of Weezer.
Yeah, you know what sucks? All I hear is static.
Boy, does that suck.
That's not no good for you.
No, we're not messing with you at all. I don't know what to tell you because the 4 people before you, we had it set up the same way and they heard it.
Yeah. Take a guess.
I mean, El Scorcho, The Good Life.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Sorry, Danae.
That was Sure Buddy Holly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shoot. All right, we got time for one more, I think.
All right. Manuel in Los Angeles, hi.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there. You ready for your song?
Let's do it.
One more time?
Let's do it. I couldn't hear the song.
Oh,
seriously?
Did something change?
No, the reason he couldn't hear that song is because it's in the right channel only, and the people on the phone hear it in mono.
Well, put it in mono then. Put it in mono or right channel. He's got to at least be able to hear it.
Okay. Yeah, let's give him that one again.
We could hum it for him.
I'm not sure that would
really?
Be good.
Okay.
All right, go for it.
All right, you ready? One more time.
Ooh. My absolute favorite song, Island in the Sun.
Nicely done. There you go.
Fantastic. All right. So Paul is in the drawing, Steve in the drawing, also Kenny, Jose, and that was Manuel. Only one will win tickets to the Made in America Fest this weekend, by the way, and also be eligible for the grand prize drawing for a 2-night hotel stay, private ride to and from the show, and passes to watch the biggest K-Rock bands from the stage. We've got that grand prize drawing Friday. Who's going to be in the drawing, Lisa?
The winner is Steve.
Steve. Yeah. Congratulations, Steve.
Sweet, man. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Enjoy the show, and thanks for playing.
Just a second.
That song, of course, from the early 90s, and somehow she won an MTV Video Music Award for it.
Oh, come on.
It does seem like it had been out a while.
Come on.
You seem a little strange. Yes, she was doing that dance.
Doing a rocking out that cool dance she does.
Still dances better than Taylor Swift.
She does.
No matter what she does, still better.
That is true. It's 6:54, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Last night, of course, the Emmy Awards were handed out to television's best. We'll be recapping the award ceremony in just a couple minutes, so we won't spend too much time on it. I will give you a quick list of some of the winners, however. Breaking Bad did very well, winning Best Drama Series, also actor and supporting actress for Bryan Cranston and Anna Gunn. Supporting actor, also, Aaron Paul won for Breaking Bad. Juliana Margulies won for Best Actress in a Drama for The Good Wife. Modern Family was the best comedy of the year, according to Emmys. Julia Louis-Dreyfus winning for Lead Actress in a Comedy for her work in Veep. Jim Parsons won for Big Bang Theory, again. And $1 million a year, an episode.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah. Who made that joke last night? Someone talked about the reason they kill everyone off in Game of Thrones is because if you let your characters hang around long enough, then you start paying Jim Parsons $1 million an episode.
Yeah.
Allison Janney won for Mom, a supporting actress in a comedy. Supporting actor in a comedy went to Ty Burrell for Modern Family. The Colbert Report. One for Best Variety Series, and it says goodbye, and Stephen Colbert moves on to hosting The Late Show over on CBS. Amazing Race, one for reality show, and TV movie The Normal Heart, Fargo, one for miniseries. So congratulations to all the winners.
Hey, can I throw one other Emmy comment out, Ralph? And I'm curious your take on this.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Leno makes an appearance on the stage last night. He's with NBC for 25 years or something like that.
And his show is long.
Really,
right. Jay? That's your comedy chunk? Talk about how long
horrible.
The show is?
It's horrible. He hasn't missed any meals since he left the Tonight Show. That's for sure.
He's a big boy.
But my point is, did that seem like an incredible wasted opportunity to have you know, the NBC grand old man come back and just waste him like that. Like, it was so pointless.
What do you mean, waste him?
Oh, you mean he didn't do anything worth bringing him back?
He didn't do anything.
For.
Yeah,
well,
why bring him back
on them?
For him to just come out for 5 seconds. But, I mean, they clearly could have and should have done something with Jay Leno. He hasn't done an interview. He hasn't been in a photo shoot. He's just vanished from the face of the earth
Why didn't he bring his A game? Why didn't he bring some material?
I would argue that Jimmy Kimmel brought material.
Jimmy crushed it. He came prepared.
Absolutely. Ricky Gervais brought material. They didn't give that to anyone.
Yeah, they didn't write for those guys. Those guys took it upon themselves to come out prepared with some material to entertain people.
I agree. I'm saying the whole thing was a wasted opportunity. Like, why bother having him on if he's not going to do anything?
Right, but that we're saying that's on him.
That's on Leno. That's
sure.
not on the Emmys.
Oh, sure. All right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was so strange. Pointless.
Yeah.
Very strange.
I don't even see why you have him back. I never thought he was funny, and I think now let's all move on.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, though, I will be watching Seth Meyers' show now. I haven't watched it at this point.
Really?
I thought Seth was fine on SNL. Never really was a guy that I'd say, oh, he's back on television. I can't wait to catch his show. But I was really impressed by what he did last night. I thought he did a great job as host. I thought his opening monologue was really strong. And I thought the little interstitial stuff he did with Andy Samberg and Amy Poehler, very funny. As well as the field piece he did with Billy Eichner from Billy on the Street.
Billy on the Street.
They went out, and as Billy does, you know, if you've seen him on the web, he goes out with his microphone and he accosts people on the street, offering them $1 to answer his questions. And they went out together. Seth Meyers and Billy went out to ask people on the East Coast in New York whether they gave a rat's ass about the Emmys at all. It turned out to be very funny.
Miss, it's television's biggest night. Can you feel it?
No.
Oh. For $1, who's your favorite talk show host? Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, or Seth Meyers?
Jimmy Fallon.
Yes, sir. For $1, name this year's Emmy host.
I couldn't.
No idea?
Not at all.
I'll give you a hint. He's standing right next to me.
Oh, okay. McFarlane. No.
No, that's Seth McFarlane! How dare you! Miss, for $1, what is this?
A trophy?
What kind of trophy? It's the biggest award in our industry.
The Academy?
What do they call this one?
Goldblum?
What?
Goldblum?
What did you say? Goldblum?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I don't...
What? I don't know what word she's saying.
It is the...
Anniversary?
No!
Very funny segment.
I think she was trying to. She was thinking of Golden Globe.
She was, what
she was probably.
Yeah. Global. He's like, what
so
are you
funny.
Saying? Gobble? Blah blah.
She's the female me.
She was the female Kevin. I think Kevin's the female Kevin. Quite frankly, I've never seen his penis. I don't know what he's got down there.
You're right. Now.
No, I'm good. I'm all good. Thanks. Today's celebrity birthdays. Shirley Manson of Garbage is 48 years old today. Yeah.
She's the best.
She is the best. Chris Burke is 49. Terrifies me, though. That Shirley Manson terrifies me.
You're afraid of her?
Yes.
Oh.
Why? Not like a scary way, like she's a scary person. She's a force of nature.
She's a force larger than life.
Yeah. She's sexy and self-possessed and confident and enormously talented and brassy and smart and outrageous and outspoken. And I shrink in her presence.
She's too much woman for you.
She is too much woman for me.
I remember when you wouldn't meet her. I do remember that. That's right. You were scared to death of meet her.
Terrifies me. Because I'm in love with her.
Right.
I'm terrified by her. Yeah, she's the best. Actor Chris Burke from Life Goes On. Corky, 49 years old.
He still got it.
Still does. Adrian Young, of No Doubt, 45 years old today. Melissa McCarthy's 44. Macaulay Culkin turns 34. Chris Pine, Captain Kirk, is 34 as well. Dylan O'Brien from Teen Wolf and soon to be seen in The Maze Runner is 23. And actress Kiki Palmer is 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Tove Lo is going to be in studio performing live in town to do a couple of shows or so. She's going to be in doing Habits and another song for us. Adam Carolla on the program tomorrow. Dr. Drew later in the week. And the grand prize drawing on Friday for the Made in America grand prize. You can get the details and a chance to register for that at KREC.com.
Let's talk about your ass for a minute.
Okay, let's.
Mine? Can we talk about Lisa's instead?
Whoever's.
Yeah. Everybody's.
Everybody's.
Okay.
There are certain parts of your body that you do not want to injure. And that's one of them. Not because, well, I guess because, you know, you can't sit down for a long time. But it's also embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this when this came up in the meeting. I was thinking, it's weird that I like to think that we've evolved as humans being on the earth for hundreds of thousands of years.
Oh, that's cute.
But the truth is, if somebody has colon cancer, it's more embarrassing than if somebody has lung cancer, as if they have any control over where cancer is in their body. There is something about what's going on in your shorts region that just makes something awkward, sometimes hilarious, sometimes sad. What is it about that? Like, why haven't we evolved past that? Like, if somebody gets shot in the butt, why is that hilarious to us? But if somebody gets shot in the arm or shot in the foot, it's not.
I can't answer except to say that that is true. That is all true.
That's so funny.
I'm sorry. It is. It's funnier to get shot in the butt. And that's what happened at that MTV pre-party that Suge Knight was at.
Oh,
that's right.
Right.
When shots... There was lots of gunfire. I mean, we talked to Harvey Levin yesterday from TMZ. Suge himself got shot six times. He was hit six times. So that tells you how many bullets were flying around that nightclub, right?
And remember yesterday when you pointed out it must have been because he's so fat that he actually was able to take all those shots? I can't believe you would say that about Suge Knight, but whatever. That's on you.
One of the people who was at the party is a fashion model. Her name is Megan Hawkins. She was also on TMZ.com yesterday. She apparently was hit in the butt with a bullet at that party. She's in the hospital, and she posted photos, naturally, from on her social media accounts from the hospital, using a walker to get around. She says, "My ass took a 9mm, and I'm keeping it as a souvenir."
By the way, if you're going to get shot, I guess that's a place where not a lot of damage can happen, right? It's not like you get shot in the chest where your heart, your lungs, other
major arteries,
not
right?
Really, just fat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a good place, but at some point you do have to say to the emergency staff, "I got shot in the ass."
Well, I don't think we've ever done this phone topic before, but we're looking for ass injuries on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. We're looking for you ended up getting hurt in the butt. Now, are we specifically excluding sex injuries? I think we are, right?
I think we're...
Unless you fell out of bed and got impaled on something. I mean, that would qualify.
Sure, right. But if it's just normal wear and tear, then we're not interested in those stories. But you hurt your ass. I don't know that we've ever done this topic.
Okay. We want your calls at 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You hurt your ass. It's something you've been embarrassed about. You haven't needed to share it with anybody until now. But now it's time to let it out. Just call us and tell us about it.
Let it out.
Who was the Kevin and Bean intern that we had who ended up with an ass injury?
Her name is Danny.
What happened to Danny?
She fell out of a second story... and landed, impaled herself on the fence and hung there for, if I remember correctly, like an hour or something.
She impaled her butt?
She landed on her butt, and it went into her butt, and she hung by her butt for a long time. And then finally, the EMTs got there, and I think they had to bring the whole fence to the hospital with them. She was in Ripley's, believe it or not.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. You don't want that.
And I bet you're right, Kevin. I bet for the reasons you described that, I bet that's the best part of your body to have something like that happen. Because obviously if it goes through your chest, you know you've got heart and lungs and so many other things that can be damaged. It goes through your arm. I mean, you're probably never going to use that again if it gets broken that bad. I mean, I guess the ass is a good call.
So if bullets start flying, turn around?
Turn around and lift
it
up. Yep. Face down, ass in the air. That's
done.
What you need.
Well, face down, ass in the air has been our motto on this show for years. All right, let's take a couple of calls here as they continue to come in at 1-800-520-1067. I can't believe we're looking for ass injuries on the program today, but let's see what we got. George is up first, Southgate, line 3. Hey, George, thank you for listening and thank you for calling. What happened to your butt, my friend?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, okay, so I used to dorm, and I told my dorm mate that... I have a problem rolling off the bed, and I used to sleep the top bunk. Now, I rolled off my top bunk and fell straight on my butt and broke my tailbone.
Oh.
Now, the thing with that is that I didn't wake up until the next morning knowing that I had a broken tailbone.
Wait a minute.
Really?
Wait a minute. You fell out of the top bunk and broke your tailbone, which I've been told is one of the most painful injuries.
Yeah.
And you didn't wake up?
I didn't wake up.
Were you drunk beyond words?
We kind of drank like crazy that night.
Yeah, because a heavy sleeper doesn't cover that.
So you hadn't unpassed out yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do they do for a broken tailbone? I mean, is that the type of thing that they can put in a cast or something?
Nothing.
They sling it? Just what?
Just painkillers.
Painkillers.
They give you a little pad that you just sit on hard surfaces, and That's about it, man.
Man, were you passed out. Did you have a lot of alcohol?
I couldn't even sneeze without it hurting. Let's put it that way.
But you didn't wake up.
That is pretty remarkable.
You might have been close to death.
Yeah.
It's called tequila.
Right. Has the same effect on me.
Thank you, George. Appreciate that. Let's go to Antonio. He's in Torrance. He's got a workplace injury in the ass. Hi, Antonio. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I work in construction, and it was my lucky day one day. My coworker accidentally shot me in the butt cheek with a 2-inch nail from a nail gun.
A nail gun.
So I didn't realize it was there. I waited a day because it was a thin nail.
Wait a minute. It hurt, but it didn't hurt bad enough that you thought it was still there, or what?
Correct. Okay. It was a Finnish nail.
Well, sure. People in Finland, they make nails.
What was he aiming at that he hit your ass instead?
Well, basically, I bent down, and he had the gun, and he had his finger on the trigger.
Sounds like gay code to me.
I gotta be honest.
Right? He had his finger on the trigger, and you bent down.
Right.
Come on. Sound
good. But the best part is when I went in the hospital and I had 10 different doctors analyzing my butt cheek.
Yeah.
So sure.
We're going to need some help in here. If everybody could come in here.
Just they couldn't wait to share it with their Dr. Freds is all that was. All right.
Right.
Listen, I'm glad you called. This is your last chance to come clean, though. You were on a construction site or you were at the Abbey? What was really going on?
No, I was at a construction site.
Really were good. Okay. Very good. Then we accept your call. Thank you so much.
All right.
Wow. The phones are packed, by the way.
Our listeners have hurt their asses.
They certainly have. 1-800-520-1067. What'd you do to your butt? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Shouldn't talk about it. That is Milky Chance. Milky Chance is the name of that band. It is. Milky Chance.
They've got to be rethinking that.
And the song is Stolen Dance.
They're German. I wonder if that means something in Germany.
I
wonder if there's some significance to that name that we don't understand because of the translation.
There must be, right?
Must be, right?
It could just be a terrible band name.
Could be, yeah. Right. Hey, recap highlights from the 66th Annual Emmy Awards coming up in a few minutes here on K-Rock. In the meantime, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Looking for your ass injuries. I know it sounds crazy to me, too, but you can't believe how many calls we have. Marcos writes in from Bellflower. Hey, party people. So I'm buying at a gas station in San Diego. There's a drive-by shooting at the intersection, and the driver was shot in the head, lost control of his car and drove into the gas station parking lot, hit my car and pinned me between my car and the post that stops you from hitting the pumps. Needless to say, it was incredibly painful. I had to wedge myself out. I was okay and sent to the hospital. I had severe bruising on my ass, and I saw my car the next day and had left an ass impression in the car on its side. Yes, I was hit so hard that my ass left an ass print on the side of the car. As you can imagine, walking sucked for a while, and I couldn't sit down for about a week. Good times.
He must have a hard ass.
He must.
To dent a car.
All right. We got some great calls. Let's see how many we can work in. Let's go with James. He's in Torrance. He's on line 6. It's crazy with the calls we've already taken and the ones on hold, how many different ways there are to hurt your butt.
Yeah, it really is. And our listeners have done it all. James, hi.
Hey, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
How'd you hurt your ass?
Well, okay, so I'm surfing and I drop in on a wave. Little kid in front of me gets scared. He bails out his board tombstones. I jump off my board.
Oh, no.
Land on the nose of his surfboard. It impales me in the right cheek of my butt. Missed all the vital organs that went in. The doctor said it went in between 6 and 7 inches. He couldn't find the bottom with his finger.
Oh my God. But at least you didn't land in salt water right after you got speared.
I was in salt water.
I know, it's a joke. You're surfing, it's a joke.
6 or 7 inches into your butt.
That's what he figures. He couldn't find the bottom. He figures that's, you know, because the impalement from the cheek of my right cheek butt up into almost to the spinal cavity, but it wasn't quite that far, he said, but it was close.
Did the little kid come up to you and say, he's sorry or whatever?
That happened, it felt like I got hit by a truck, literally. It was all I could do to just crawl to the beach. And as I was stepping on the sand in the water, you could see blood prints around my booties in the sand.
Sweet.
Oh, man.
What was the recovery like for you, James?
It wasn't that bad, actually. I couldn't sit down for a little while, but when it was all said and done, it was like 7 stitches, and
You know, just besides having a sore ass and not being able to sit down, there was really no big deal. But
all right,
when it first happened, it was.
Sure. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Wow, we got some good ones here. Let's go to Ashley. She's in Huntington Beach, and she is on line four joining us. Ashley, what'd you do to your butt?
Hi. So I was water skiing with my family, and I fell. And as I was waiting for my family to come around and pick me up in their boat, another boat was heading towards me, and they didn't see me in the water.
Oh, no.
So they, so to avoid getting killed by the other boaters, I started swimming down. And as I was heading down, my life jacket lifted me up, and right, the propeller of the other boat cut my butt.
Oh,
your butt got cut by a propeller of a boat.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
You didn't expect that happening that day when you just were out for some water skiing. How much damage was done?
I got 4 or 5 stitches, and like everyone else, couldn't really sit down.
Four or five stitches, by the way, is not terrible considering you got hit by a boat propeller, yeah, for God's sakes.
Wow. Yeah, I was pretty lucky.
Yeah, I guess.
Unbelievable. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Dustin. He's up next on line 8. He's in Long Beach. All right, so we had a couple in the water. Dustin is on a mountain. What are you doing up there, Dustin?
So I was snowboarding out in Colorado, right, and okay, I was going through some backcountry trails.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught a little bit of edge and collided full my whole ass to a tree. Didn't really know what was happening at first. Got down to the bottom of the mountain, pulled my pants down, and realized I got stabbed by a tree branch right in my ass.
Oh, that hurt.
You sort of cut out a little bit. You're saying that you caught an edge of the snowboard and then that threw you into a tree?
Yep.
And then you didn't realize that there was a branch that had cut you?
No. It was still cold out. I mean, it was negative degrees out, so I just kind of just
got
the snow and like kind of gathered myself. And I'm like, all right, I'm fine. I didn't break my legs, so at least that's good.
All right, at least that's good.
And then, well, I know the worst part of it, though, when I did pull my down on my snowboarding pants to see what was going on, there's little pieces of flesh hanging out like little noodles.
Oh! That is not what you want.
No, that is the opposite of what you want.
That is not sexy. Right.
Unbelievable. Thank you, Dustin. Appreciate that. Let's do one more. This is Alex in Cyprus. Alex, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What happened, dude?
All right, this is a bit of an embarrassing story, as you know.
Well, they all sort of are because you hurt your ass.
All right, so I was at a party, and I got blackout drunk, not going to lie, and I woke up the next morning, sat down at breakfast, and said, ow. And I was scared. I didn't know what happened. I couldn't remember anything from last night. I didn't want to believe I had an ass injury when I got blackout drunk because that can, you know, open a big door to big other things.
Sure. Now you have to tell me.
Now you have to text everybody that's at the party and go, did one of you,
yeah, it's almost best not to know.
Oh, man, I spent a good week trying to bargain with myself saying, no, it was like that when I got there. You know, I got this because I was driving for a long time. Good. So after about a week, I broke down. I said, you know what, guys, can you tell me, please, what happened? They said that I was outside playing some beer pong, and there was a mattress on the floor, and I decided to run and jump onto the mattress, which was really thin and, you know, had holes in it, and
right,
I hit the concrete floor, and I fractured my tailbone.
Oh.
Ouch.
That's the kind of thing that sounds, when you're drunk, that's going to be the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Yep. And then it turns out not to be the best thing ever.
Yep. You envision that you're just diving into a big pile of feathers, and it's going to be delightful at the other end. You have no idea that the concrete is a half an inch below you. So,
I sort of remember that. I thought I was just going to bounce off of it like a cloud in some kind of like acid trip or something.
Right, sure.
Our listeners are the best. Thanks, Alex. Steve Michael from Yorba Linda. Way to go. Just won tickets for the Budweiser Made in America Fest happening this weekend at the Grand Park in downtown L.A. That's with Kanye West and Imagine Dragons and Weezer and so much more. More chances to win coming up. And you can also win online at KROQ.com.
The Emmys were on last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to bring in some highlights. Seth Meyers was the host.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he did a pretty good job.
I think so. I agree.
That job is impossible to really do really well. And I thought he did pretty well. I didn't think he did quite as good as Ralph thought and Bean thought. But he didn't certainly get in the way. And that is what all we want from a host. He came out and had a few jokes at the beginning.
We had so many great shows this year. We had comedies that made you laugh. And comedies that made you cry because they were dramas submitted as comedies. There has been some controversy over which categories certain shows were submitted in. For example, Orange is the New Black was submitted as a comedy rather than a drama. Give it up. True Detective was submitted as a drama instead of a miniseries. And Bachelor in Paradise was submitted. This will also be the final season for shows like Glee, Two and a Half Men, and Sons of Anarchy, as well as almost every new show to premiere this fall.
Very true. He was funny.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. I also really enjoyed some of the banter. It seems like they used to write. You know what I mean? They would try and write the witty banter between the two people.
Yes, and it was terrible.
They still do, by the way.
Well, maybe, but I thought Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey was fantastic, and it sounded like they were just busting each other's chops. It's sad because when they got out there, Woody Harrelson immediately did his Matthew McConaughey impression.
All right, all right, all right. Come on back to the Airstream after I make the best margarita this side of the Arroyo Grande.
I have said that. Let me share with you a little bit of worldly Woody wisdom. So it's late last year. I had a little problem come up in my life. I had a conflict, something I had to deal with. So I go to my friend Woody, thoughtful man and friend. I said, Woody, you know, you always seem to keep it pretty cool. What do you do when you got a problem or a conflict that comes up in your life? And he looks back up to me and looks right in my eyes, deep into my soul, and he says, I just forget about it. That's true. It's incredible how you do that.
It works. It really does work. I want to offer that to all of you.
You know what's funny is that it seemed like Matthew McConaughey was exaggerating or whatever, but Woody was serious.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it works.
Yeah, I think so.
He was very, very happy with that.
They're both awesome hippies, by the way. That's one of the reasons we love them so much. That was planned and that was rehearsed.
Maybe, but they were...
But they're really good actors.
It seemed like they were personal stories, at least. Got a little bit of a window into each other.
Absolutely.
So
well done.
If it was written, it was well done. Key and Peele kill me. Mm-hmm.
They were funny.
They kill me.
Yeah.
And they came out to introduce the accountants.
Thank you, Emmy Academy. It is our honor to be here with you today to introduce the accountants.
You know what? I'm going to call an audible here. We're seasoned improvisers. Let's turn off the prompter.
Okay. You want to wing it?
Yeah, let's wing it.
We're going to wing it. Good call.
And here we go.
Accounting addition is the...
Since addition, the invention
subtraction.
Of
okay, no, that's on you. Go ahead. That's
you.
That's
you.
You
got it.
That's you.
You said I got it.
No, you go ahead and do it, Dave.
No, you got
that's
it.
On you. That's on you. That's
you
on
got
you.
It.
That's on you.
You got it.
That's on you. Go ahead.
You got it.
That's on you. Go ahead.
All right.
Do it.
Well,
that's
just
on you.
Losing time. Okay. Just, okay.
You go.
You go.
That was the best part of the accountants. I don't know why they always have to show the accountants, but they do.
I don't either.
I don't know why they always have to bring out the president of the academy, but they do.
I have no idea.
But at least he had Sofia Vergara standing there on the stage next to him. So we had something to look at, and we have no idea what he said. Which, by the way, just parenthetically, is exactly why we have Miss Double December.
Oh, yeah.
So that people don't pay attention to the fact that I especially can't talk. There's somebody there to look at.
People are distracted from our message because Miss Double D. By the way, did Kevin just use the word parenthetically? What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, I think he did.
That's crazy.
Did I say it wrong?
No,
you said it right.
That's why you're shocked.
I'm stunned.
Because I used it correctly.
Hey, I don't know if what tape you have here, but...
I don't have much else because... Go ahead.
Stephen Colbert.
Yes.
Was one of the few missteps of the night, I thought. What did you think of his imaginary friend chunk?
Yeah, not that funny.
I didn't feel like it worked very well. That was kind of like the first speed bump of a show that had really been kind of humming along.
And then Jimmy Fallon came up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that? And
well, that was a different thing. Yeah, Stephen Colbert did his chunk when he was presenting an award, but then Jimmy Fallon came up when Stephen Colbert won an award. Right?
I didn't think either worked. And I love him.
Yeah.
I don't think either of those were funny. I'll tell you who I did think was funny was Jimmy Kimmel.
Absolutely.
Who
he
was
killed it.
Also busting on Matthew McConaughey.
Why is Matthew McConaughey nominated for a television award? Matthew McConaughey doesn't even own a television. I happen to know for a fact that he traded his television for a conch shell full of weed. I mean, don't get me wrong. You were
Woody.
No, that wasn't Woody. Woody's a television guy. You were great in True Detective. You may well be the best actor, but you just won the Oscar like 5 months ago. It's no offense, but how many of those speeches of yours are we supposed to sit through? I mean, all right, all right, all right already. Should we give you the BET award for best male hip-hop artist, too, while we're at it?
So that was funny. That was a highlight. And I personally love Ricky Gervais.
Oh, he's funny every time.
He kills me. Yeah. And he came out. I don't know that his numbers are accurate, but he did come out and immediately say that he lost.
Hello. I lost again. That was good. 21 times. 21 times I've been nominated. Lost 19. It's like a cruel joke. It's like they're going, oh, you're great. I'm like, yeah, come over. You're brilliant. Am I? No. No, you're not. You're not so good. Well done to Jim Parsons, though. I would have preferred to have won it, but, you know. Also, I've come a long way. He's probably local. It's just, isn't it? It's like 4 years in a row. It seems unfair, doesn't it? I wrote a speech. You're not going to get to hear that. So, well, actually, I can do it, couldn't I? I could do it. Yeah, yeah. It won't make sense now, though. Ha ha! I won. I knew I would because I am the best actor. See? Better than those other actors. Parsons, Cheadle, H. Macy, Joey from Friends. Look at their stupid faces. Thank you to the Emmy voters who are never wrong. Well, we know that's bollocks now, so...
So anyway, that was some of the highlights. I'm sure you can find a bunch of the other clips online.
Can I throw one more thing out that I thought was an absolute highlight?
Yes.
And it was such a visual. I understand why we don't have the other. I thought I was a funny concept.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't as funny as I hoped it would be.
Okay.
But Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Not only were they brilliant on stage, but then to have the payoff moments later when she won her award and he ambushed her going up to the stage there with that giant kiss. I mean, she had to win in order for that punchline to pay off.
Right.
That they had set up on stage minutes before.
Yep.
That's ballsy.
Yeah, I agree.
And it was
great. It really, you know what, it's
great.
It seemed like as far as award show go, they were having a pretty good time.
I think so.
Versus most of the time when you get the idea everybody's tortured.
They
most of the people that
end.
Right. Most of the people that didn't win their category, they're all a little disappointed. Seemed like they were having fun.
Yeah.
It definitely seemed like a good time. I mean, the only complaint I could make really is the same complaints that we make over every award show, which is that they're too long and they give out too many awards. But that's kind of out of the hands of the people who are there at the show. I think everybody showed up and everybody did a nice job.
Thank you, Lisa. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Ron Kessler, who's written a book called First Family Detail, and it is about the Secret Service. And there's a lot of juicy dirt about our presidents.
I don't like this guy.
I love it.
I don't like what he does. I don't like who he is.
Secret
Service should be like hookers.
Right, but he's...
Should just do what you do and shut up and don't tell tales about it.
Correct, but this is a reporter, not a Secret Service agent.
He talked to then.
they gave up
by association,
goods.
Him.
All right.
You're going to be amazed, Ralph, that every U.S. president has been assassinated when you hear how lax some of the details are in Secret Service duty. I mean, really, it's kind of scary, actually. So we'll talk to Mr. Kessler coming up. First, though, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I get the Showbiz news, let me give you something, because you're all nice people. The Simpsons.
Yay!
Are taking over the Hollywood Bowl on September the 12th. It's going to be a very cool event. It's going to be the L.A. Philharmonic Orchestra is going to play live music accompanying some of your favorite scenes of the longest running sitcom ever on the big screen. You get to see The Simpsons and live music, and Matt Groening is going to be there. It's going to be very entertaining. Special guests, fireworks finale. If you're a Simpsons fan, you're going to want to attempt The Simpsons Take the Bowl.
Oh, I thought it was a bowl of chips. It's just a stupid venue.
Pair of tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067. Two winners will get a pair of tickets for the September 12th show. If you don't win, however, you can go to HollywoodBowl.com and purchase tickets for either the 12th, the 13th, or the 14th. There'll be three shows for The Simpsons Take the Bowl, and I think you'll enjoy it. So call me now if you want tickets. We haven't done this in a while. We haven't done a best of all time list in a while. This latest comes from BBC Radio 2.
Okay.
So keep in mind, there is a British slant to this list. But listeners were given 100 choices, And they said, tell us what you think is the best guitar riff of all time in rock and roll.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And the voting was done by listeners, the radio hosts of the BBC, music critics, and record producers. So these are people who know some stuff. Here are the top 10, according to these folks, top 10 best guitar riffs of all time in rock and roll. You ready? Here's number 10.
Love it.
Money, Pink Floyd.
Pretty iconic.
That's a good one.
Sure.
How about number 9? Yeah. The Kinks. You really got me.
That's pretty strong, too.
Pretty strong.
The one thing I know about this list is Kevin will hate all of the songs.
Hey, no, he's 2 for 2. He's like these.
I said that's pretty good.
How about number 8?
Plus, being you forget, I don't have to listen to the whole song. I only have to listen to 4 seconds of the riff.
That's right.
Okay.
Dire Straits, Money for Nothing.
Sure. Great riff.
Next one, here's some of the British influence coming into this list. Status Quo. Are you familiar with Status Quo?
I'm not.
Yes.
I'm not.
This is from a song of theirs called Down Down. It's a great tune. But that riff could be any number of songs.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds frankly. Like they're just playing a Chuck Berry song.
Yeah. How about this one? The Smiths, of course, with How Soon Is Now.
Sure.
Now the top 5. I got to say, every one of these, spot effing on.
Oh, you agree with
everyone?
No one
complaints with the top 5, starting with this one. I may have ranked this one a little bit higher than 5. It's Layla by Derek and the Dominoes. Of course, the classic Eric Clapton riff. I may have moved it up on the list a little bit, but it can't be too picky. Here's number 4.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
You ever been in a garage band?
Yep.
You played that riff. Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water. How about this one?
A lot of these songs are the reason people decide to get a guitar and start a band. That's for sure, because they want to play these notes.
Sure. But the Wing and Armenian Comedian version of that, right?
Of course, yeah. Back in Black by AC/DC. Can't complain about this one either, for sure.
That's pretty good, too.
Come on, that. You hear that, you're like, turn it the F up.
Yeah.
Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. And this was number 1. Again, I told you there's a little bit of a British bent to this list. However, you got to say, it's pretty iconic. Number 1. Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. You need cooling! Baby, I'm not fooling!
It's not a bad list.
Not a bad list at all. I thought they did a pretty good job.
No, Smells Like Teen Spirit, by the way, on that list.
Yeah, well, that
must have been just outside the top 10.
Yeah.
When you're thinking of iconic guitar riffs.
I agree. It's a great song, but I don't know if that riff in itself just is as timeless as these.
I think it is, but what are you going to do? You can only pick 10.
Yeah.
You know,
good list.
Bean is with lists.
He's
got a list of lists that he likes. Hey, I put this at number 4 of the all-time greatest guitar riff lists list.
The way I get around that is I put however many I want in. So it's the top 10 riffs, but I've got 15 that I like.
Oh, I see how you're doing.
Just makes it much easier.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Chris Burke. Corky from Life Goes On. He's 49.
What's he doing now, by the way? Is he still in show business?
I do not know the answer.
I've not seen him in a long time.
If only there was some way you could go online to some sort of fact-checking or informational
source. There's
no
information available from your home. I'm sorry.
Open up a blog.
Where you could type in the name Chris Burke and hit a key, and then it would give you all of his
activity. When that is invented, I will use it for that purpose.
Boy, will you be happy.
Shirley Manson of Garbage is 48 years old. No Doubt drummer Adrian Young turns 45. Actress Melissa McCarthy is 44. Macaulay Culkin turns 34 years old today, as does actor Chris Pine, best known probably these days as Captain Kirk from the Star Trek reboot. Dylan O'Brien from Teen Wolf and soon to be seen in The Maze Runner turns 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Last week when we started reading some of the details about the new book that's out called The First Family Details, Secret Service Agents Reveal the Hidden Lives of the Presidents, we're all yucking it up, you know, reading about Joe Biden skinny dipping or the Bush girls trying to elude the Secret Service to get away from college and go to friend's house. We thought, oh, that's fun. Then we get the book, and there's so much more going on behind the Secret Service and the people that they protect than we ever had any idea. We are delighted to welcome to the show the man who wrote the book, Mr. Ron Kessler, joins us on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hi, Ron. Thanks for the time today, sir.
Hi. Great to be with you.
Do you feel bad that you're making it harder for presidents to cheat on their wives?
Nope. Okay.
Well, this is the real story behind the scenes, so you can make of it what you will.
What has the reaction been like from current Secret Service agents to the book? I'm sure every one of them was waiting on day one to buy it when it went on sale. What are they telling you, Ron?
If they're really truthful, they love it because it tells the real story about our nation's leaders who so often posture and create an image of themselves that's the opposite of the truth. In addition, the book reveals the corner cutting and laxness within Secret Service management, which, many agents feel is an indication that the agency needs to be reformed and that the agency really risks the life of the president because of all this corner cutting.
Well, that was the most shocking revelation to me, is the corner cutting, as you call it, where they allow lots of people to get close to the president without any kind of screening. And it seems to happen over and over and over again. I mean, the story you tell in the book, Ron, that I don't know that a lot of our listeners have heard about, is somebody throwing a bomb that fortunately didn't go off within a few feet of President George W. Bush. I mean, that would have been an easy assassination, and that person was able to get so close to the president with no screening, right?
Exactly. And the Secret Service continues to take those risks under pressure from White House staffs or from campaign staffs when an event is about to start and there's a line outside and the staff says, let him in. And sure enough, Secret Service management just lets them in without screening. It's just like letting passengers into an airliner without metal detection screening.
That's how Ronald Reagan got shot, right?
That's right. Although in that case, it was the Reagan White House staff that overruled the Secret Service. Secret Service did not want anyone near Reagan as he came out of the Washington Hilton. And the Reagan White House staff wanted a nice PR opportunity. And so Hinckley was able to get within 15 feet of Reagan unscreened and was able to shoot him.
Now, this is shocking to me because I've heard my whole life that the Secret Service, they mean business, and you don't mess around with the Secret Service. How many people other than the president can give them orders? Like, how low does it go on the chart of the staff that where they could just overrule the Secret Service?
Well, it really should only be the president. The White House staff should not have any authority over the Secret Service, but in fact, the Secret Service bows to their pressure. And, there's this culture of we make do with less. We're the great Secret Service. We can take these chances. Let's just not rock the boat so we can get a nice job in the private sector when we leave the Secret Service. That's the attitude, unfortunately.
We are talking to author Ron Kessler here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a New York Times bestselling author, former reporter for The Post and The Wall Street Journal. His new book is called The First Family Details, Secret Service Agents Reveal the Hidden Lives of the Presidents, and it's available at all book retailers and online right now. I was also surprised to see how differently the protectees treat their Secret Service detail. Some of them, it seems like, become quite friendly. Others just treat them like furniture, right?
Worse than furniture. In the case of Hillary Clinton, she treats agents with contempt. She's so nasty to agents and other people who are there to help her that being assigned to her detail is considered a form of punishment, the worst assignment in the Secret Service. And yet here's this woman who claims to be compassionate and care about the little people, and her policies are going to help the middle class. And the reality is that she treats these people like dirt.
So the Secret Service goes, no, I have to watch Hillary Clinton. What did I do wrong?
That's exactly right.
Wow.
And, they sign up to take a bullet for the president, but not to be cursed at by Hillary over nothing.
All right, while we're talking about the Clintons, please do tell us the story of, I believe her nickname is the Energizer?
Yeah, that's her unofficial code name given by agents. The code names of the members of the first families all begin with the same letter for each family. So in the case of the Clintons, Hillary is Evergreen, Bill is Eagle, and so the busty blonde mistress became Energizer. And agents are instructed not to sign her in or ask for her ID when she comes to the home in Chappaqua. She shows up almost as soon as Hillary leaves the home. Even Clinton relatives have to sign in and show their ID, but not Energizer. She, unlike Hillary, is very nice to the agents. She'll bring them cookies. One hot summer day, she drove up and offered the cookies to the agent at the gate through the window of her car, and she was wearing a low-cut tank top, and the agent noticed that her breasts are enhanced and very perky. So we have every detail in this book, the first family detail.
And how long would she stay with Bill Clinton? Would she just stay for an hour? It sounded like part of it sounded like she would stay until Hillary came home.
That's about right. You know, sometimes as long as a week. Hillary, you know, basically lives apart from Bill, has her home in Washington. And it's a sham marriage. You know, you see them holding hands in front of the cameras. Even the most happily married couples don't hold hands. So it's a charade. And they think we're fools for falling for it.
Yeah, you mentioned it's a business relationship is what it is, and one that they've both worked to their advantage. You also talk about when President Clinton was still president, that part of the Secret Service's job was to try to keep him away from anyone in the area who might be young and hot that he might be distracted by and stop to talk and throw the whole schedule off because he needed to speak to a pretty woman.
That was a big problem for the Secret Service, and still is, because he'll just make a beeline for a pretty female, and a lot of times the crowds are unscreened, and that poses a risk.
To this day, he will just make a beeline right for her.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever she is.
He hasn't changed at all.
Wow.
Ron, my final question, and we can't recommend this book enough to our listeners. If you're at all interested in the way the government works or doesn't and anything about the Secret Service, please buy this book called The First Family Detail, available everywhere. I'm not a partisan guy, but I got the impression, based on reading most of your book last night, Ron, that the Democratic people that are protected are way crappier, way meaner to the Secret Service agents than the Republicans are. You have so many stories in there about how kind and courteous the Cheneys were and George Bush and his father, and it seems like it's the exact opposite for the Al Gores and the Clintons of the world. What do you think that's about?
Well, yeah, that is true, although there are exceptions, and this is a nonpartisan book which says that Barack Obama and Michelle do treat their agents with respect and consideration. You know, I've been trying to figure that out. I just don't know. And it's just particularly disturbing when it's the Democrats who claim to be compassionate and care about the little people, and yet they're more often the ones who treat those people like dirt. It's just like Republicans who claim to be for family values, and then they have affairs. It's more disturbing when there's this hypocrisy. That is a wonderful question, and I still haven't figured out the answer. But hopefully, people who read the book, will come up with their own conclusions.
I have one last question for you, and it's about Barack Obama. And that is, before he got elected, a lot of people were saying a black man cannot be a president of the United States. And they were wrong, clearly. Twice he was elected. But I've read a lot about how worried the Secret Service are about people who are racist in this country. Have they stepped up their game? Are they really, really doing a better job trying to keep Obama safe to make sure that doesn't happen on their watch?
There was a big increase in threats against the president when Obama was elected, and just after he was sworn in, there was actually a 400% increase. And this was mainly from plain old racists, not affiliated with any political side, but racists. But on the other hand, it's pretty unusual when a threat actually leads to an assassination. Usually, an assassin doesn't give any warning.
Right.
So, but. Since then, it has leveled off, and the number of threats is about the same as under George W. Bush.
The book is called The First Family Details. Secret Service agents reveal the hidden lives of the presidents, available online and at all book retailers. Author's name is Ron Kessler, and he has been our guest on The Kevin Amin Show. Thank you so much for the time. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I don't like it. I don't know what it is, but
well,
I don't
how
like
can
it.
You not like it if you don't know what it is?
Because the fact that you won't tell me what it is ahead of time means that it's not good news for me. Come on, Kevin, you know how this show works.
Yes, I do.
This is fascinating. Right. This is like the National Geographic Channel. This is getting a chance to see a rare creature in its natural habitat that ordinarily you don't get a glimpse into that world.
That's true. All right, let me tell the kids what Ralph is referring to. This is Bean speaking, and I don't get out of the house all that much. And I very rarely interact with other people. It's true. And to be honest, I'm not very good at it. I'm kind of uncomfortable around other people. You guys know that.
Yep.
And when we sometimes are thrown together to have to do the show on the road or whatever.
Let me just introduce one other thing. Ralph, have you ever been to Bean's house?
No.
Nor have I.
Mm-mm.
Lisa?
Nope.
Nor invited, by the
Nor
way.
Nor invited.
It's not
what I'm
like I'm turning down invitations every weekend for a big party.
You
there.
Would, but you're not because they haven't been offered.
That's right.
I didn't invite anyone to my house, to be clear. What happened was our friend Brad Williams was up here because he's a famous comedian, don't you know? So he was up here doing stand-up all weekend long in Seattle.
Right.
So he texts me and says, hey, I'm coming to town. And I'm like, let's get together. As I said earlier, Ralph, I can hang out with Brad now because he's in radio.
Sure. Right, yeah,
he's got a radio show, so we can be friends now.
Now he's legitimate. Uh-huh. And he's not on your show. Anymore, so you can talk to him and hang out with him.
But he did have to go to the restaurant that you always go to on that day, right? Like, he had to meet you there.
I picked him up at the hotel, and we did go to IHOP, yes.
Okay,
we did go to IHOP.
Well,
right.
It is IHOP day, naturally. Sure.
So I pick up Brad at the hotel, and he's on the phone. We'll find out what he's calling about in a second. But I pick up Brad at the hotel. I think we're having a nice time. We go to IHOP. We have an enjoyable lunch. I take him back to the hotel, drop him off, and I go home. And that was the extent of it. And I thought, oh, that was great to see Brad again. I liked the man. It was a lot of fun. And then I find out I come into work, and they're like, oh, you can't believe what Brad said. Oh, we got to get Brad out of here. Oh, wait to hear what Brad says. What the hell is going on here, my former friend Brad Williams?
Brad, it was funny because Bean was literally baffled yesterday. He was like, what are you talking about?
What could this be about? We had a wonderful time.
We had fun.
Well, first of all, I'm so excited that while I was in the place of such great food that is Seattle, that he took me to the culinary masterpiece that is IHOP.
By the way, to Bean, that is his food mecca.
That's as good as it gets.
That Denny's. Yes. I don't know how he picks.
If you have an IHOP or a Denny's, why bother going anywhere else?
Because it has better food.
There's Pike's Market. There's some of the freshest seafood in the entire country. And
right.
I would like some dove cakes.
I think there's a former Top Chef winner now running that IHOP you went to there, Brad.
I'm not sure that's true, Ralph.
No, I think he's really worked up some nice work with the menu there. Brad, did we not have a nice time at the IHOP?
Well, and here's the thing, and it kind of scares me because I did have a nice time with Bean.
All right.
And
That should scare you.
And that frightens me.
Right.
But at the same time, the breakfast was not without incident.
Okay. Please do. Please do tell.
When Bean did pick me up from the hotel, he picked me up, and I'm driving in his car, and we're having a lovely conversation. And while he's driving, he saw a very attractive woman start jogging.
Oh, he didn't roll down his window and shout, "You're pretty!" Did he?
He did not do that, but Bean, he can't help himself. He knows that he has to do something. He has to live up to the stereotype that is Bean.
Creepy Bean?
He does exactly have to do that. So as he's talking to me, about, something that fascinates him, like the weather. Like, the weather in Seattle is lovely here. We've had so many days. And he just stops mid-conversation, goes, hello.
What does he say?
Right back to the conversation.
Wait, what does he say?
Hello.
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 Is he pointing her out to you? Like, there's a hot chick?
I think that he's just doing that for himself.
That's a common courtesy if you're in a car with somebody and somebody might not have seen the eye candy on the street, is you do your best to share.
It's a common courtesy. I think that's in the gentleman's handbook that they pass out at cotillions.
It is, that's true.
It's the eye candy on the street.
Creepy alert.
So, Brad, you didn't know anything about this. He would just interrupt a sentence by saying hello and then go right back to the sentence.
And then right back as if it was a creepy Tourette's, and he just had a twitch that he had that like, sorry, this is what I do. The same
Kevin,
way,
wouldn't you want a heads up if there was something worth seeing on the street?
I wouldn't need a heads up. First of all,
no man does, by the way.
Well,
so don't worry about it.
If there's a hot chick within 5 miles of me, my radar has it
in
on.
In my defense, good. Brad can barely see over the dashboard of the car. There. Remember, I was trying to help him out in that respect. Hey, listen, Brad, it was great to see you, and I'm glad we had a chance to have you on. But I want to put in a plug for what Brad Waves has going on for folks who don't know, because Brad is a radio guy now. He is moving to San Francisco, and Brad is going to be part of a new morning show on K-Rock's sister station that many of our listeners are familiar with if you've spent any time at all in the Bay Area, called Live 105. And that starts on Tuesday, right, Brad?
Yeah, Tuesday, September 2nd is our first day on air, and I also wanted to thank you guys because no way in heck would I ever get this job if not for the training that you guys have put me through and let me substitute for Ralph when he's out doing the showbiz beat. So yeah. I did want to thank you guys.
It's weird when people from time to time thank us for stuff like that, like Jimmy Kimmel was on our show and stuff like that. And I always tell people, look, you make your fortune. If we put you on the air, fine, but you're moving on because of you.
Thank you. That and the fact that Ralph does like to take vacations. Thank God for that.
That's true. He does a lot of work. He takes a lot of – hello. Takes a lot of – hello.
Hello.
So Live 105 in San Francisco starting next week with Brad Williams, part of a new morning show.
Hello.
And, of course, don't forget this Friday night, September 5th, you're going to be at the Libero Theater in Santa Barbara filming your one-hour special for Showtime. Right, Brad?
That is correct, sir.
Hello.
All right. We got to go because we got something else we got to do here, Brad. But congratulations on the new gig.
Hello.
It was great to see you last weekend. Keep in touch, okay? The program known as the Emmys, 3 hours that seems like five, is behind us for yet another year. We thought we'd find out what we all think about it with our friend Mary McNamara, television critic for the Los Angeles Times. Hi, Mary. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hello. It's great to be here.
Great to talk to you overall. Seems like you enjoyed the show from what I read at LATimes.com this morning.
Yes, I thought Seth Meyers did a really good job. I thought that the show was really well written. I thought that it moved along briskly with a few notable exceptions. I just had a problem with the repetition of the winners.
Yeah, what about that? I mean, this year is a perfect example. The hot new flavor was True Detective, and I think everybody was expecting Matthew McConaughey to add an Emmy to his Oscar this year. But I mean, that's not a case of something going wrong. Just because Matthew McConaughey is great doesn't mean that Bryan Cranston isn't also great, right?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I mean, the thing about the Emmys right now is that every single person in the category deserves to win.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make an argument for every single person, every single show. There are people who didn't get nominated who you can make an argument for winning the Emmy. So, yes, no, in no way to detract from the absolute wonder that was Breaking Bad and all of the performances. But you do also get to the point where it's like, with so many great shows, with so much great television and new television and boundary-pushing television, you would think that the Academy might want to, you know, throw it around, spread it around, spread the love around a little bit. It's hard to justify a sweep year after year. I mean, there's just too much good TV.
Do you ever talk to Emmy voters to find out what is their thought process when they're looking at a ballot like that outstanding lead actor to drama series and they go, okay, Bryan Cranston is awesome, of course, but he's also won it a bunch of times before. Maybe it's time for a Kevin Spacey or Matthew McConaughey. I mean, what do they tell you?
I haven't. I have never asked. I should, actually. I should call people up and go, what were you thinking?
Well, you are the Los Angeles Times television critic. It seems like maybe that would fit into your job.
Accountable.
Okay.
Darn it.
What do you think? It's kind of in the same topic with Modern Family that continues to win the Outstanding Comedy Series,
right.
Even though all the hype this year was on Netflix and Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
What happened there, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, they had a choice, and the choice was do you, you know, give them this kind of record-tying win, which is always very exciting, or do you give it to a new show? And the new show had, you know, some problems going in where they, you know, they were kind of betwixt and between categories. They entered as a drama for the Golden Globes and then switched to the comedy, which many people saw as like kind of a naked decision to actually win an Emmy.
Right.
I didn't have that problem because I thought of the first season of Orange is the New Black as a comedy, so I was surprised when they were nominated as a drama. So, but many people felt the exact opposite. You know, they also, there is, you know, the feeling, too, of, you know, the poor broadcast networks, they're really hanging on for dear life. So I'm sure that there was some sentiment going into that, this upstart Netflix, we're not going to, you know, exactly anoint them right away. We'll give them the nomination, but we're not going to give them the win. But, you know, again, it's not like saying that Modern Family didn't deserve to win. I mean,
right.
All of those performances are terrific. It's a solid, wonderful show that astonishingly continues to be just as good as it was year after year. So there is something to be said for, you know, awarding consistency. So, again, for the telecast, it became rather boring. It's like, oh, my goodness, what year is it? It's like
right. There's
Julie Louis-Dreyfus again. There's Jim Parsons again. And as a critic, you know, you do think that I wish that the Academy would take a few more chances and give a little extra shove to maybe some new shows that people don't know about. But, again, you can't say that the people who won didn't deserve to win.
What about, and I can't believe I'm going to suggest they add categories, what about new drama, new comedy? Like it's the first year and let's pick one.
Exactly. Or what about dividing, you know, by episodes, which is, you know, Juliana Margulies, when she won, made a point of thanking her writers who were able to do an astonishing job with 22 episodes. And that's, of course, the big division is that you see these cable shows that have like 8 or 10 episodes dominating, you know, shows that are putting on 22, 23 fine episodes a year. And that really does seem like an unfair comparison. So I would say divided by size.
Okay.
The size does matter in TV. And
well,
that
between the two of you, we'll turn this into a 10-hour show.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let's keep adding to it.
It becomes Emmys, the miniseries.
Right. Mary McNamara is on the line. She's the television critic for the Los Angeles Times. You can read her at latimes.com. I was so happy to see Sherlock break through with a couple of wins.
Me too.
And I was wondering, Mary, if you think, and I know I'm asking you to interpret the hive mind here, but do you think it's because of the higher profile of actor Benedict Cumberbatch because of other things that he's done and Martin Freeman because of Fargo that now all of a sudden people are paying attention to that show?
I think that that's some of it. I also just think that Sherlock itself kind of broke out. I mean, it was so good, and the critics raved the first season, but it really did kind of take a little time to catch on because it's an import. It's on PBS. It's like, you know, you don't really, you know, you're not really sure what the audience is thinking. And so they, you know, it just really did. And yes, and then Benedict Cumberbatch was in pretty much every movie this year. So, I mean, you do see that kind of renewed attention. And also Stephen Moffat, I mean, I'm really happy to see him win. I mean, here's a man, he's like got Sherlock and Doctor Who, which is another show that is breaking into the American consciousness. And so that was really nice to see him win. He looked totally stunned.
Yeah.
And I was not, you know, so surprised because, I mean, Sherlock is such a great show. It's a small show. So, again, you
right.
have, like, those category issues. And I believe they entered it as a movie. They entered the last episode as a movie, which seems kind of strange.
But each episode of that really is a movie. They only do 3 a season, right?
Well, you can say that spiritually. But
no, but I'm saying...
But it is a series in that it returns with the same characters also. But you know what? I don't care. Anything that gets people to watch Sherlock, anything that
Agreed.
Gives them the awards, whatever. It's like, okay, we'll make up a new category.
That is a great show.
We had one of your colleagues in yesterday from The Hollywood Reporter, and I want to ask you the same question that I asked him, is what do you think is going wrong with shows like Sons of Anarchy and The Walking Dead that every year are awesome and highly rated, yet never get nominated for anything? What's the problem there, Mary?
Well, I have said before, I think that the Academy has a really terrible prejudice against genre of like fantasy and horror. Now that doesn't apply to Sons of Anarchy, but it certainly does apply to The Walking Dead. They have a really hard time acknowledging anything that has ghosts or dragons or anything. I mean, Game of Thrones is the exception. It's kind of like the Lord of the Rings for TV.
But let me ask you, why do they have that? Because that kind of TV is just as difficult to do as any other TV,
You know what? I would argue it's more difficult to do. It is very difficult to create an absolute alternative universe and make it consistently resonant with audiences. And the only way you do it is with great writing and tremendous acting. And that's what happens on The Walking Dead and, you know, and Game of Thrones. And the degree of difficulty is much higher, I would say, than just doing a, you know, a modern police drama or a modern drama of any kind. But I think that it's kind of, you know, it's like it seems I don't know. Maybe it seems childish. Maybe it's just people. Fantasy really divides people. Horror really divides people. Some people just don't like it. And so if you just don't like zombies, then you're going to have a hard time watching The Walking Dead. If you just don't like fantasy, then you're going to have a hard time watching Game of Thrones. So, I mean, I think that that may be a problem. With Sons of Anarchy, I think it's just, it's a violent show. It celebrates maybe a lifestyle that some people feel shouldn't be celebrated. I don't know. That one is kind of baffling to me.
If you don't ride a motorcycle, you don't vote for that show. Which is
right, but it's also, you know, but I don't understand, because it's like, you know, we live in a world where a serial killer can be considered the hero of a show. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, that box has already been broken open long ago. So it's like, I don't understand. I mean, that is a fine show. It's critically acclaimed year after year. It has a very devoted following. But again, I guess, you know, it's just, I do feel like the Academy members are probably just so overwhelmed by the widespread and just sheer tonnage of television that, you know, I think there are some built-in kind of go-tos, you know, the kind of traditional shows. It just makes it easier for them to cull in terms of watching the screeners. I can't imagine how long it takes to be a Television Academy member during the voting process. It must just,
hey, you watch a fair amount of TV yourself, so you know there's only a certain number of hours in the day, and in some ways we are in the golden age of television, at least in terms of the number of quality shows and the number of different outlets for those shows.
Yes, and we certainly are there is more television to be watched than ever before. So, I mean, I watch it for a living, and I can't watch all of it. I mean, not
exactly.
Even close.
Well, we're about out of time, Mary. So glad we got a chance to catch up with you. You can follow along at latimes.com. You did a great write-up of the show last night, and I'm sure you'll have more in the days to come. Follow Mary on Twitter at MaryMacTV or at LA Times. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Sure, my pleasure.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:58. That is Tove Lo, who will be here tomorrow.
Let's do it.
Nope.
Tone Loke.
That's Tone Loke. Completely different artist, Ralph. No, this is Tove Lo.
Who's going to be here tomorrow?
Medina.
Performing that song.
Funky Cole Medina?
No. It's not Tone Loke.
Who is it?
Tove Lo.
That's not even a thing.
It is a thing.
A Tove Lo.
A thing.
What is that? Tove Lo sounds like something you would say when you're trying to say loaf of bread.
That's true.
So I go to the bakery, I buy a Tove Lo loaf. Lova Tove. Terrorist.
That'd make her name, man.
Terrorist situation.
There is a terrorist situation. Hey, I don't want to give anything away here, but an old, longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show that we haven't talked to in forever joins us right after the top of the
Armenian
hour.
Comedian?
Better. Longtime listeners are going to be very excited to hear who we get on the phone coming up right after the news. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
At 8:59.
All right. Take your time.
How can I take my time when we need to get done at the top of the hour?
We are not good stewards of the clock.
You can fudge a little. You can run a little long.
But, like, you're wasting this time right now when you could be doing a very entertaining story. No? Terrorist, you know, situation.
Terrorist situation is what it is. Hey, Prince is releasing two new albums this month.
Wow.
Next month, actually, September 30th.
Yeah.
Two new albums.
Why are you saying what? That's great news, Kevin.
It's not great news because Prince puts out. He's one of those people that puts out everything that he ever
does.
You don't
know, man.
He puts out 15 albums a year. Most of it is
not true.
Most of it isn't that good.
First of all, he releases a tiny fraction of what he records. He's one of those guys who records like 100 songs for every album that he puts out.
Yeah.
Look, I've seen Prince in concert. I like him, but he puts out a lot of crap.
His solo album on the 30th of September is called Art Official Age.
Okay.
Which means
terrible.
Nothing. But he's also got a new album with his all-female band, Third Eye Girl. And that album's name is Plectrum Electrum.
Okay, he is crazy. There's no question about that.
Plectrum Electrum will be out on the 30th as well.
That's a terrible idea.
He's returning to Warner Brothers, by the way, the label that started his career. And part of the deal with Warner's was he got all of his old master tapes from his back catalog back in his
possession.
So he gets all his original masters back. And they say he's probably going to remaster all that stuff and do deluxe treatments for all his former albums like Purple Rain in 1999 and all that stuff. So I can't wait for Plectrum Electrum.
Sure.
Not the best.
I've
name.
Heard you say that a million times.
Sounds like through a sex years. Toy Lisa would get on her birthday.
It does.
It certainly
the
does.
Plectrum Electra.
On any day, not just her birthday.
Day, but just saying, we'd go on QVC and pick her up the Plectrum Electrum.
Hello, Poon.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Burke. Remember him from Life Goes On? He's 49 years old today. Shirley Manson's 48 years old. Adrian Young, your drummer of No Doubt, 45. The Colbert Repeat.
Poor Gwen.
Gwen Stefani said last
I
night.
I don't know how it happened last night, but I do feel bad for her.
She had a stroke. That's what happened here.
The Colbert Repeat and terrorist situation.
She was me,
she said. Macaulay Culkin's 34. Chris Pine, also 34. Melissa McCarthy was also in the Emmys last night. She's 44. Dylan O'Brien of Teen Wolf and soon to be seen in The Maze Runner. He is 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Beer mug on the red carpet. That's all you need to know. That is the magic that awaits you in about 50 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show for Tuesday. But first, Ralph Garman in the showbiz beat this week said a name that I hadn't heard or thought about in a long time. And that name is Mr. Sean Connery. Sean Connery, you guys remember him?
Of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
He, as nearly as I can remember, by the way, the last thing that he acted in may have been that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, like 10 years ago or something like that.
Why haven't we talked to him in like 5 years?
Well, I think he hates us, for starters, and he's always nasty. But Sean Connery, one of the all-time great actors, Oscar winner from the Untouchables and the Indiana Jones movie, and he was in The Hunt for Red October. Of course, he was James Bond back in the day. And we thought, you know what? He just celebrated his 84th birthday. Might be fun to catch up with Mr. Connery. I believe we have him on the line from Scotland, don't we? Are you there, Sean?
Good morning, you suckers.
Oh, come on, Sean. That's no way to start a conversation between old friends. How you doing, man?
That's what I call my old friends.
Oh, all right. I see.
I call my new friends.
Oh, wow.
Sean, for God's sakes.
You haven't lost a step, have you, since the last time we had you on the show?
No, I haven't lost a step. I've lost a ball, though. Have you seen it?
No.
So we were just telling our listeners that we heard it was your birthday this week. You are 84 years old. How's your health, sir? How do you feel?
I've never felt better.
Oh, that's good news.
Well, that's a lie. I feel like
oh.
But for 84, I think I feel pretty good.
Okay.
And I'm still getting the job done, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure. Absolutely.
I think we do, and I don't think we need any more details
and
about
by that,
Sean.
I mean I can still get an and put
okay.
it inside a woman's.
Right, I think we understand exactly what you're saying.
And then move it.
Right, we got it. We know how that works.
Until the is achieved.
All right.
Why are you sharing this information with us, Mr. Connery?
I just wanted to make sure you knew what I was talking about.
Yes, we did. All right, so last time we talked to you, a couple of years ago, you told us you were retiring. You weren't going to do any more movies, and it
yes.
seems like you were serious about that because we've not heard a peep from you ever since.
No, I was serious. I've got all the money I need. And I decided just to really focus in on my wife around.
Oh, Sean.
That's a full-time job at 84.
No.
She's
that's
faster
horrible.
And younger than I am, so I have to chase her around the house. And sometimes I'm so tired by the time I reach her, I can barely
Sean.
I would never
okay.
But a good
Sean. Oh, this is horrible. I apologize to our listeners that have to hear any of this from Mr. Connery.
No one's going to hear any of this.
You're right about that. Hey, what'd you do for your birthday last night, though?
Well, first of all, they gave me a cake.
Right.
Which I thought was wonderful.
Sure.
And it was covered with candles.
Right.
And so I ate the cake, and I blew out the candles,
mm-hmm.
and the cake was filled with Viagra.
Oh, no.
Nice surprise, I would imagine.
It was a nice surprise. It was decorated with little blue pills all over it, and I ate a big slice of cake. And
okay.
I spent the rest of the night hitting my with a hammer.
Did that make it feel better?
No, but I just couldn't feel anything. I was that it was like a diamond. Sadly, my wife was out of the country.
Oh, that is too bad.
So I ended up just drilling holes in the wall all night long.
That sounds like quite a party.
It was, but now I'm just spackling. I have to fix all the holes. Just filling them with spackle.
Sounds like there's a lot of spackle
a
going on in your house, Sean.
A lot of spackle is being spilled today.
I would rather not talk any more about the spackle.
I saw Scottish spackle at the Troubadour.
You did? Wow. All right. I think on that note, maybe we'll take our leave for this time around,
wait,
Mr. Connery.
One last thing.
Yes. Yes, sir.
You.
Okay. I love you,
Poppy.
All right, take it easy. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:41.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
A little recap, a little update from a story we covered last week. That pristine edition of Action Comics number one.
Oh, yeah, we talked to that guy.
We did. We talked to the gentleman who was selling it. Out there, Washington, Darren Adams. It is Action Comics number one, the first appearance of Superman in a comic book anywhere, anytime. 1938.
Mm-hmm. How much did he turn down?
Turned down $3 million for the book.
Just a flat offer of $3 million.
Put it up on eBay. It sold for $3.2 million in an auction. So after eBay takes its fees and everything else, he donates 1% of that to the Christopher Reeve Foundation for spinal injuries.
He's got like 50 bucks.
50 bucks. That's about it. Yeah. He really took a bath. No, he'll probably end up making about $3 million. So all said and done.
Pretty good.
Probably would have done the same thing if he took the flat offer. But it is the highest price ever paid for a comic book in the history of the medium.
It seems like that one should be.
The most valuable comic book of all time so far.
Here's a reminder that it sold for 10 cents in 1938.
Yes. Considerably
so this
more.
This is more.
This would be more than
this
10 cents.
This is more
cents.
Than it was 10 cents. Okay.
It's impossible saying. To guess what the economy is going to be like or what inflation is going to be like between now and then. But when Superman turns 100 in 2038, and it's very likely that the person who bought it is still going to be alive then, I wonder what it'll go for. He bought it for 3.2. I wonder how much it'll sell for when Superman's 100.
I would hold on to it until Superman's 200.
Good. I like the way
and
you're thinking.
What's it going to sell for then?
What about 500?
Right? 500 years old.
Right.
Superman's 500 years old. All the Bitcoins will be yours.
You just have all the money in the world. You just own everything.
You own everything. Then you start your own army of droid drones.
Whatever mixture you have in mind. Right. You can do whatever you want. You have all the money.
You have all the money in the world. Yes.
And a terrorist, situation.
That's right. In a terrorist situation, you are in the driver's seat.
Great.
Hey, listener Edwin wrote in regarding our buddy Brad Williams' report of what it was like to have breakfast with Bean at IHOP.
Yes.
With him molesting all the joggers with his eyes in his clown car.
Mm-hmm.
Edwin recommends, next big K-Rock contest, breakfast with Bean.
I like it.
Not a concert, but one or two lucky listeners get to have breakfast with Bean. I would so do that. So I'm announcing it right now. Breakfast with Bean is on. We are doing it.
I don't think that's been
right
approved, actually.
Write in your reason why you should have breakfast with Bean. Send it to bean@krock.com.
No, I think somebody else should handle the
inquiry. That's probably true. Okay.
Yeah.
It's breakfast with Bean@krock.com.
There's no contest.
We're not having a contest.
We'll do the contest.
We will pick the best responses we get to that, and then we will talk to the top five.
I like it.
Nope.
On the air, and then one lucky winner and a guest will get to go to Bean's house and have breakfast with Bean.
I like it.
I like it.
I would like to point out that
it is on.
Brad Williams was heavily vetted for 5 years before I agreed to have breakfast with him. So I'm not having breakfast with some random
listener. Looking forward to you listeners spending some time with Bean.
Bean, I just heard the words, it's on.
You did.
So I don't know what you're arguing. Now. What are you arguing about?
There's no coming back from it's on.
No, that's
it.
Sir. It's on.
It's like I've been threatened to a dance battle.
Once it's on, what are you going to do?
Right. It just can't go off.
No.
It's on.
There's no, it's off. No
right.
One says that because there is no such thing.
I thought there was some sort of an on-off switch, maybe. We could just click it, like turn off the light. Kind
Once
of
it's on, dude.
It is on.
I don't like it.
I haven't heard a marketing problem like this since the Diet Candy AIDS had to go out of business.
Is that true?
Yeah, there used to be a diet candy called AIDS.
Really?
You may not remember that.
I don't. It really was?
It was.
It was in all the drugstores.
All the drugstores.
Very popular.
Very popular with the housewives. You take this little caramel-type candy, and you would eat that with a hot beverage, and it would help fill your tummy up, and you wouldn't overeat during the day.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it was called AIDS. So you'd pick up
It was spelled A-Y-D-S, but unfortunately it was pronounced the same as the disease that came about.
Get yourself a box of AIDS.
That's unfortunate.
And you take it home, and you pop some AIDS all day long while you're sitting around the house, and you don't overeat.
See, they couldn't come back from that either.
AIDS did not.
Right? So you can't come back from it's on.
They didn't rename it. They just stopped making
it. Cancel it.
They just stopped.
They just have to quit.
I haven't seen that kind of marketing dilemma since that. But I have one now.
All right.
The name of the rock band right now that is dealing with that issue is the band Isis.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow. How unfortunate. That's tough.
Yeah, ISIS, the metal rock band out of Boston, has been playing together since 1997.
Don't you have to?
They've released 9 albums?
I guess maybe. Maybe wait it out and see, but...
I feel like ISIS is here to stay on the international terror front.
Yeah.
I don't think these guys can wait it out, is what I'm saying.
Now, the group moved to California out of Boston, and they officially split up in 2010.
Okay, so they're not a band?
The band is no longer together, but its ex-members apparently are being inundated with posts and individuals from people who believe they are associated with the Islamic terrorist group.
Oh, that's great.
And their death threats are getting death threats. Their Facebook page, the official ISIS Facebook page, is not getting a lot of respect from people.
Well, they should have thought about that before they beheaded that journalist.
They see, that's the thing.
That's not
the band ISIS did not do any of that. So they have changed their Facebook page from ISIS to ISIS the band, hoping of deflecting some of that hatred that's coming their way. But these poor guys are trying to just make a living. And the band's former drummer, Aaron Harris, told ABC News, "It certainly caught us off guard."
Yeah.
Fans have emailed us that they're reluctant to wear our concert T-shirts now and other things because we've gotten some off-color comments. So you don't want to go around with your ISIS shirt.
Where's my terrorism drop now, B? Come on,
this is literally a terrorist situation.
And a terrorist, situation.
That's right.
We've talked about, Ralph, how unfortunate it is when you're just going about your life and you've got as a person, you've got a regular name, and then somebody gets in the news. Like, you're John Hinckley, and it doesn't mean anything until one day, all of a sudden, there's another John Hinckley who tries to shoot the president, and now all of a sudden, your life is hell.
Right.
That's what happened to this poor band.
Yep. So I feel bad for those guys. But I see a reunion tour in their future.
Sure.
Sure.
Hey, how great were the Emmys last night? Good times, right?
Really we had good. Fun.
I think so.
We all had fun, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
It's important to me to be able to fast forward, though. I do use that feature quite often when
it gets
boring.
I found the writers and the directors. I love them. I respect them. This business would not exist without them.
Agreed.
They are the foundation on which all television is built.
Agreed.
That's why they should be awarded their Emmys off camera the weekend before.
Why?
Because that way the show goes from 3 hours to 2 hours, which is what it desperately needs.
But those people are critical.
They are, but this
doesn't mean you want to see them on TV.
But this is a TV show.
But first and foremost, it's an award ceremony that you get to watch on television.
All right.
But for the people in that room, it is an industry function. It's a business meal.
You're right.
But they handle that with a lot of other awards the weekend before that we don't watch on TV, and I think that's perfect.
But writing and directing
are important.
Are beyond important. They
absolutely
are critical.
Right. I agree. That's a tough argument. I agree.
Well, then stop arguing it if you agree.
You
can't agree with me and argue with me about this.
I can't.
Once you agree with me, then the argument's over.
No, I think both.
I think Kevin and I are on the same side here. We agree with everything that you're saying, that the writers and directors are crucial and an important function. That doesn't mean they need to be on the primetime Emmy broadcast, though.
But it is not a show for you.
It is a show for me. I'm the home viewer.
Yes, but they are the Emmy. That's the Academy. It's their function that they allow you to watch.
Right, but they clearly have made a decision for, writing for a variety series and outstanding narrator and other categories that they give off camera the weekend
before.
They
do a lot of technical
stuff. They do a lot of those.
But you know what they don't do? The massively important ones like writing and direction. They put those in the main event for a reason.
I agree with you 100%.
So tired of reading the criticism online all day today about they should drop the writing and the directing Emmys.
I agree with you 100% about the writers and directors.
I don't think you do.
They should not be on the broadcast.
Then you're not agreeing with me 100%.
All right.
I was just saying, there is some small percentage of you that's not agreeing with what I'm saying.
I can hold both at the same time.
Well, that's the sign of a great mind. That you can have two diametrically opposed thoughts in your head at one time.
Everybody knows I have a great mind.
That is true.
Thank you.
Other complaints about the Emmys, and I found this one equally as ridiculous as the complaints about the writers and the directors getting their awards. There was an event last night that happened with Academy of Television Arts and Sciences Chairman Bruce Rosenblum came out on stage to talk about the diversity of television, and as a parody, as a satirical moment, he took the lovely Sofia Vergara and put her up on an onstage turntable where she vamped and provided a visual distraction to his dry words, because everyone complains about they don't want to hear the guy who's the president of the association.
And I'll say this. That was the first time I didn't fast forward through him.
And
It was also sort of a parody of the fact that television is often accused of pandering to the lowest common denominator,
right,
and you're
which
missing out on
clearly
the
was.
Clearly what was happening.
Where's the outrage there?
Well, there's plenty of outrage today.
Oh, dear God.
On the internet from several sources, including TimeMagazine.com, which derided the moment, calling it a blatantly sexist trope. Jezebel.com, Refinery29, said, Sophia Vergara was treated like a literal object used for little more than eye candy. They are absolutely missing the point of what was going on there, which was they were spoofing the fact that they used beautiful women for eye candy on television by putting her up on that pedestal and making her rotate while he was delivering his dry speech.
I thought it was funny.
It was very funny.
It was funny. They did the best that's ever been done with that portion of the Emmys. And by the way,
they shouldn't let him talk.
Agreed.
They shouldn't let him talk. That shouldn't be on the Emmys.
Oh,
and the,
sweet God.
And
the
guys, don't need to see the goddamn accountants either. They need to be off the program.
They just weigh.
Too much.
It's 20
too
seconds.
Much. They're accountants.
20 seconds.
They're accountants.
They're accountants who count the ballots for that award
but
show.
But you can't tell me they're anywhere near as important as the writers and directors. They're behind the scenes entirely and do not need to be on the broadcast.
They are giving them an acknowledgement and thanking them for their service.
Don't need to do that on TV.
We don't see the people who count the ballots for presidential elections either, by the way. There's no need to see the people who count the ballots.
There are no ballots for presidential elections. It's all fixed, man. Open up a blog. There's no real voting going on in this country, man.
When this show is down to a crisp 90 minutes, I will love it.
You already get to DVR through it as much as you want. You can fast forward it. You have to watch the whole thing. But those people should have their night.
I agree. The weekend before, right?
I agree 100%. It's just that I agree 100% with you, but I don't want to be a part of all of their nights.
I don't even know. What
that is. I don't either.
I'm not sure either. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Burke is 49 years old today. Shirley Manson turns 48. Adrian Young of No Doubt is 45 years old. Melissa McCarthy's 44. Macaulay Culkin is 34, as is Captain Kirk himself, Chris Pine. Dylan O'Brien from Teen Wolf and Maze Runner turns 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin DeBean Show, we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have some live music tomorrow. Tove Lo will be here in studio at 8 o'clock.
Let's do it.
Nope. Not Tove Lo.
Nope.
Don't confuse, Ralph. T-O-V-E-L-O. Tove Lo.
Tove Lo.
Yes.
Is that person a Vulcan? What kind of name is that?
Well, I'm not positive, no, but I think
Live long
no.
and prosper, Tove Lo. You too, Tpring. As you, Tpow.
Tickets for Made in America. And Steve-O will talk to us about defacing property and all of his charges that are coming up against him.
Good man.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin DeBean Show.